and it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Why don't they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we.
Yeah.
They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, hipsters and haters of hipsters, the Republicans, everything else. Good morning, Mark Riley.
Good morning, Mark.
I swear to God, I've had it. I've got four cats, feral cats. If you're up to a challenge and lonely and have nothing to do but try to get a wild beast to act like an animal that is a human person's friend, then let me know. You understand? Because, like, not only am I fed up with Republicans, but these cats, I've done, I don't know what I was thinking, man. I mean, I'm not going to get hung up with this because there's definitely bigger things to talk about. But I just need someone to take some of these cats.
That's right. Don't be feline girly men.
Yeah, and I'm not lying about this, all right? They're not nice. All right, they're very cute, but it's deceiving. They're mean, and they're wild. But if you're the kind of person, I'll take one of them. You know what I mean? Look, when I was in college, I went out with a lesbian for like 3 years. I think I can change people. Do you understand? So I really thought that I might be able to make one of these cats work for me. And I realized that maybe my intentions were screwed up. You understand? I brought them in saying, like, I'm doing a good thing. I cannot get one animal service of any kind to take any of these cats or offer me any help. I called up the ASPCA, and I was like, what am I going to do? I need a trap. I want to get the mother. I want to get her fixed so this problem doesn't become a bigger problem. They're like, you got to take a class. They're trying to create missionaries to help animals. And I can't. There's no.
But the ASPCA gets rid of them after 2 days anyway.
No, I'm not giving the cats the ASPCA. What I'm going to do is I'm going to, I can't even get my veterinarian to fix them. I'm willing to pay to get four kittens, fixed so I can at least put them back into the yard and let them die the death of a wild animal naturally, as opposed to thinking I can change them. But ultimately, the admission I need to make about myself is that, I brought them in thinking I was doing a good deed when ultimately all I really wanted was for them to like me. That's the saddest part about it, is every time I think one of them likes me, and then they bite, it's ridiculous. Now, moving on, all right? This Republican convention is a scam. It's a scam, and we all knew that, but what they're trying to do that really makes me sick, and we talked about triangulation before, Mark Riley. We talked about it yesterday.
Yes.
That, clearly what's happening is there are two separate factions of the Republican Party. There are the slightly delusional religious fanatics who don't care about the economy because they've given up and now only care about moral issues because they think that if they can save the country from the moral decay that is, being imposed upon them by people who think and science, that maybe they would have lived a worthy life. And then you have the other side of fiscal conservatives that all they care about is deregulation, privatization, and money. That these are there should be a civil war going on, but what they're doing is they're co-opting the liberal agenda. And they are making it look like, hey, we got room for everybody. We got room for imperialists, fascists, the middle class, extremists who speak their mind, and just plain old cranks, bigots, and freaks.
And Guatemalans.
It's a big umbrella. Yeah, and Guatemalans. Schwarzenegger, when he says homeland, he means homeland. Do you understand? I mean, I could not believe that guy. What show business that was. And what world is he living in? He basically, go ahead, Mark Riley. I'm just spewing away here.
No. Let me explain something to you. This is all about show business.
But am I right, though? Are they trying to make it look like it's diversity?
But understand, too, that all of that extends to where we are here on Talk Radio Row. This is now our third day here, and we've gotten kind of into a routine. What they do here, what the Republicans do here on Talk Radio Row, is bring their B-list GOP flotsam, the wannabes, the used-to-bes, the never-wers.
Yes.
They treated Rick Lazio, a guy who got his head handed to him by Hillary Clinton 4 years ago, like he was a stinking rock star over here. Newt Gingrich has been here every day of the convention. They are bringing these has-beens over here.
Newt Gingrich is like an old Republican dirtbag from way back. And if it weren't for him, we wouldn't have been where we are now. Him and his little stupid revolution, that manic, depressive, wife-leaving bastard. You know what he says yesterday? Peter Jennings was interviewing him, says, did you squirm a little when you saw the guy wearing the Purple Hearts, referring referring to the Purple Heart Band-Aids, you know, that were mocking every veteran that has ever fought in any war ever. Gingrich says, no, I think it's funny. No, I think it's funny that, you know, we're making fun of people that serve this country. What hypocrites these bastards are. And that guy was put out to pasture by this party, for Christ's sake.
So what's he doing here, you might ask? Why is he walking around talking to Peter Jennings, talking to all these people on talk show row here, talking to my homie Bill Bennett, who apparently is late for work?
Because he is a rock star to these people.
Well,
Gingrich is a rock
star.
See,
all this is, Mark, this is part of the racket that these folks use.
Oh, I don't know how to play this game.
This is an easy way. This, first thing you have to understand is it is a game.
I can't.
The whole thing is a game. Last night was diversity night. Last night was, let's bring, you know, they brought this black girl who won some MTV or written essay contest. They bring all of these folks forward. And to see a woman say, a black woman, say, George W. Bush has the vision, shows me the light, et cetera, et cetera, is just almost comical to me. I mean, I'm sure she had some very, you know, strictly held beliefs. But when you look at the numbers tell a different story. In the early 1990s, when Bill Clinton was president, the black unemployment rate was 14%. By the time Bill Clinton left office in 2000, it had dropped to 7.2. It is now back up to 11.3. Now, you tell me what vision that is for black people.
But it's amazing how shameless these bastards are at, you know, at promoting this sort of, like, you know, moderation, all-inclusiveness, diversity. This is like the most classist thing I've ever seen in my life. And the fact that the delegates and the people that are misrepresented by this Republican administration because of their moral beliefs are not willing to see that they're being spit on, they are doormats, man. And the truth of the matter is that, you know, I think what's going to happen to those people is if this guy gets reelected, he's going to make this war in Iraq and this war against terrorism, he's going to make people believe what it really is, and to them, he's going to say, look, you know what, I'm going to rephrase this. It's not a war on terrorism. This is a religious war that must be won in order for Jesus to come back. So all of you poor people that have nowhere to go, guess what? March on, Christian soldiers. I'm giving you your opportunity. You can get on a plane right now and fight the war of Jesus.
Well, you know, you've got, at the same time as this convention is going on, you've got people, Nepalese, 12, 13 Nepalese killed. You've got
laid down on the ground with their faces in the dirt, shot in the back.
Right. Because they wanted the Nepalese government, of course, to get out of Iraq.
Nepal.
Yes,
Nepal. They're picking on the little guys.
Yes, they're picking on the little guys.
Oh, it's
and
painful.
Again, this is, Mark, you brought this up many, many times before. This is because Iraq has become a haven and a center for terrorism.
If they're so concerned about global terrorism. There was that in the Nepal guys. There's some French hostages.
Yes.
The Chechnyan, two planes blown up, and yesterday a few people were killed. In Kabul, there were people killed. Terrorism has escalated globally daily since this president has taken office. And yet he'll still run on it. Did you hear the new commercial? Hey, Kalo, can we hear the new commercial?
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
John Kerry likes to call it the war on terror. That's because he lacks the moral clarity of George Bush, who knows what this is really about.
We've actually misnamed the war on terror. It ought to be the struggle against ideological extremists who do not believe in free societies, who happen to use terror as a weapon to try to shake the conscience of the free world.
John Kerry says he can even win this so-called war on terror. That's because he lacks the strong and steady leadership of George W. Bush, who's got a better plan than just winning.
I don't think you can win it, but I think you can create conditions so that those who use terror as a tool are less acceptable in parts of the world, let's put it that way.
George W. Bush, unlike John Kerry, he's fighting the struggle against ideological extremists who do not believe in free societies, who happen to use terror as a weapon to try to shake the conscience of the free world by creating conditions so that those who use terror as a tool are less acceptable in parts of the world.
Yes! We are going to take the ex-Terminator to task when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Dr. Gary Gordon, Chief Medical Director at the world-renowned Gordon Research Institute, describes exciting new research guaranteed to solve your hair problem.
New data released by the FDA indicates that the body chemical dihydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT, is the leading cause of hair loss. At our institute, we studied numerous hair loss treatments and found that Folinex is the most effective solution for stimulating new hair growth in balding areas. If you want to stop DHT from causing any further hair loss, then I strongly recommend that you try Folinex now. Folinex's DHT blocker has been used successfully for over 8 years by tens of thousands of men and women. Folinex is powerful enough to regrow hair on virtually anyone, we guarantee it.
Folinex is available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
The blockbuster event of the year! All the thrills! All the chills! Romance, comedy, drama.
John.
Marcia.
John.
Marcia.
John.
Marcia.
It's fun for the whole family. All your favorite E! Entertainment TV shows. All on Sirius E! Entertainment Radio 136.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
The author of a new book called Where Have I Gone Right? The Right Mountain Guide to Getting the Job and Life You Want is Jim Hayhurst. Explain how your trek up Mount Everest changed your views about what's important in life and how to focus on getting what you really want.
We watched two guys die, and as we tried to understand why they had died, it became apparent in the first case that one of them had died because he hadn't figured out that his skills were no match for a mountain as big as Everest. He either didn't figure out what his skills were, or he didn't take the time to match them with the climb. And that kind of stuck in our heads as a little bit as a learning we should understand. Second guy died because his values didn't match the needs of Mount Everest. He went on alone. And you can't climb Everest alone. I mean, you get winds of 150 miles an hour, you get temperatures of, you know, minus 60 below. It's impossible to do alone. He went on independently and he eventually died. So his values didn't match up with the needs of Everest.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Want to influence a child's life? Wear your seatbelt. Research shows that when a driver doesn't wear a seatbelt, 70% of the time the children in that car don't either. And an unbuckled child is in danger. Traffic crashes are the leading cause of death for children. Help us stop unbuckled adults from endangering children's lives. There's just too much to lose. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Buckle Up America.
Got a hell of a show today. We're at the Republican National Convention in New York City, Madison Square Garden. They're getting to know us at the door. They checked us twice. You hear America people? Okay. Bill Bennett apparently frightened, not here today. Andrew Card, not here either. Even the Bloomberg guys aren't here. We're here early. We're here with there's another morning show around the corner. At least they space us out.
Yeah, right.
You got one of those sort of like, you know, like those.
Hey!
What's going on? Yeah. So, anyway, today's guest. Today's a woohoo! Here we go! Wow! It's right. It's Mark and Mark in the morning. Yeah, no. Here's a. Anyway, hold on a minute. Let me have some breakfast. There we go. Hey, today's guest, Larry Korb, a former Assistant Secretary of Defense under Reagan, now senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. Who's got one of the most, they've got the most informative website. You should definitely be on their mailing list if you're not. He, of course, voting for John Kerry. Thomas Frank, very excited. He's going to hang out with us, hopefully, for as long as we can keep him, just to comment on what is going on, because no one has a clearer view about, you know, the sort of like the schism within the Republican Party, how the Democrats lost the working people and everything else. No one's got a clearer view of that than Thomas Frank, who I like a lot. And once he sits down and focuses, he's tremendous. You should definitely read his book, What's the Matter with Kansas? Now, we've got breaking news in, and then we're going to deconstruct
Arnold
the robot.
Yeah, 400 taken hostage, 400 people, including 200 school children taken hostage in southern Russia. This is at a school. The attackers threatened to blow up the school buildings if security forces tried to intervene. 50 children managed to escape. This is in the city of Beslan, shortly after the terrorists struck.
Chechen rebels.
Chechen rebels. That's right.
Chechen rebels, most of whom I believe are there's a Muslim component to this, and I believe, if I understand Peter Bergen's book correctly, in Terror Inc., there's no reason not to assume that some of the original Afghan Arabs, as they're called, some of the people that spawned bin Laden, some of the people that originally fought the Russians with the Americans that were created by the Americans, are probably involved in coordinating these attacks, which means this could be traced to al-Qaeda, which means that clearly terrorism is much worse on this planet since George W. Bush has been president.
Yes, well, Beslan, by the way, Mark, is in North Ossetia, which borders Chechnya.
Of course, I knew that, Mark. I mean, you know, I remember postcards from there.
Yeah. Well, they haven't made any demands as yet, but we're going to continue to follow this story. And again, it just goes to show that this war on terror that's being fought is being fought all over the world. And in many instances, even if American lives are not being lost, there are tragedies that Americans ought to have a concern about in terms of our role in spreading the terror that's going on all over the world here.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's like, it's unbelievable at what point, I don't even think they call what happens in Israel terrorism on the global terrorism count. Do they?
Yeah.
It's just like, in that, now it's not clear whether they're suicide bombers or homicide bombers, but I mean, if you were to count what goes on in Israel on a day-to-day basis, you know, within the terror count, it would be, you know, more than clear that this president is not as strong on terror as he assumes he is, or as he says he is, or as he's presenting to be. And yesterday, the gaffe that we covered in our ad, where he said it's not winnable, is that is absolutely the truth. Every once in a while, he'll say the truth, because it really isn't winnable until somebody reapproaches, you know, international policy. It's not true until someone starts really talking about alternative fuel sources, about taking the Saudis to task, about being honest about what really happened.
And you know what the problem is?
What?
Well, that's too much like work. For politicians.
Yeah, but they're selling these guys a bill of goods. Let's see, I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, Arnold Schwarzenegger, when you talk about Israel, Mark, just yesterday in southern Israel, 2 bus blasts, 16 people dead, Palestinian
Horrible.
Suicide bombers.
Horrible.
But Arnold, if you listen to Arnold, none of this happened. Because Arnold had a very different message.
Yeah.
Arnold, like many others, is lauding the leadership of George W. Bush. They're continuing to push that leadership theme, and you guys are absolutely right about that. They are trying to make George W. Bush look as, you know, it gets back to that whole I'm a war president, I'm a peace president kind of thing. This is what the Republicans are pressing at this convention, that this is a guy who is decisive, who's got a vision, who is a winner, who really, and it,
stubborn, belligerent,
stubborn
arrogant.
And belligerent, and you get the cross purposes
but
all the time.
That's what strength looks like to these people. Stubborn, belligerent, arrogant comes from a type of bitterness that is uniquely American that Tom Frank will definitely address. He calls them the bitter men. These are the guys, these tough love guys, these guys that, you know, think that arrogance and stubbornness and this idea that this tough love idea is what real strength looks like. That has nothing to do with humility, has nothing to do with compassion. It has nothing to do with diplomacy. It has nothing to do with negotiating, you know, in terms of creating an international community. And these guys are just full of the bully juice. And I believe that Arnold Schwarzenegger gave one of the best performances of his life last night.
Well, it was an extraordinary performance. He even talked about, you know, joking about the Oscars.
Not in a good way.
Joking about, don't go off, y'all. You know, he talked about True Lies. He talked about True Lies being the Democratic National Convention. He wove his career into his speech as well. But Arnold really is trying to project the message that the Republican Party tolerates a level of dissent that it certainly does not in its public face. And Arnold says if you don't agree with everything the Republicans stand for, it's okay, because maybe he doesn't either. I don't know.
And honestly, they have successfully, you know, they have somehow co-opted a celebrity. If you look at the number of celebrities that are involved with the Republican National Convention, it's really very few. Certainly very few that I admire or listen to.
You mean Rick Lazio's not a celebrity?
That
All those guys that were surrounding Rick Lazio?
That's what I was going to say. It's so weird since I've had to, you know, come on the show. You know, these are cats you've been reporting on for years. I was not, you know, fundamentally a political, you know, comic. I was more of a social commentator. Now as I know all the nuances and you see these guys in person, you're like, you really, you're like an insurance salesman. You're like a car dealer.
Yeah.
I mean, you have no one should treat, you shouldn't have an entourage of suits following you around. Who the hell are you? Yeah, I mean, what does it take to be a politician? It takes a tremendous, you know, lack of shame and a tremendous ability to morally compromise yourself.
Gall is what you're looking for.
Just a little bit of that.
You gotta have gall.
Yeah. But I didn't mean to distract us. Is that, you know, the scary thing to me is they've got this, you know, Austrian immigrant who speaks in that accent, which I'm not judging the accent per se, but I think he is sort of a progressive fascist. And, you know, and I mean that not progressive in the way that we would call ourselves progressive, but I think
like
that,
the way,
you know,
the income tax is.
He is really the new face of fascism, and it kills me that they were able to suck a Kennedy into this thing. It really kills me that she sat there and smiled next to that, you know, that old spy, George H.W., you know, and, you know, the guy who was partly, you know, who helped, I'm sure, in my mind, George H.W. Bush was aware of and possibly part of in a sort of marginal way with the killing of her uncle. Do you understand? And I believe that to be true. And now they're sitting there smiling because that's what politics is. They'll just, you know what, Riley, say something that makes sense, please.
Arnold Schwarzenegger told his audience last night at the Republican National Convention how he became a Republican. Chris, let's go to that tape.
I remember watching the Nixon-Humphrey presidential race on TV. A friend of mine who spoke German and English translated for me. I heard Humphrey saying things that sounded like socialism, which I had just left. But then I heard Nixon speak. He was talking about free enterprise, getting the government off your back, lowering the taxes and strengthening the military.
What's wrong with socialism?
What exactly was the Humphrey
speak? Speak sounded more like a breath of fresh air. I said to my friend, I said, what party is he? My friend said, he's a Republican. I said, then I am a Republican.
And you see that? He's copping her uncle's, you know, vocal patterns. I am a Republican. You know what? You know, he can't have that. He's got to talk like Hitler or nobody. That's what I said. He cannot have the Kennedy diction. There's no way that that guy can steal that. He talks like Hitler and that's it. That's all I want from him. He cannot have a Kennedy wife and then act like a Kennedy. I will not have it.
Well, you know, everybody
and
in the media.
And he was impressed with Nixon, Riley. Who looks at Richard Nixon and goes, ah, breath of fresh air?
It was all translated. He didn't know.
He didn't know
what the guy was actually saying. He had some chunk next to him telling him what the guy was saying.
Are we being prejudiced? I thought we were going to play the longer chunk. Did you read
that
the list?
Oh.
You know what I mean? That if you believe, this is the thing we should take apart, you know, when we come back in a minute. I'm not going to read it all right now, but the list of, you know, it's, you know, about what makes you a Republican and what doesn't make you a Republican, that blew my mind because it is complete condescension. He is literally, this party, you know, these moderates are shamelessly spitting on the poor of this country.
Well, they're spitting on the poor of the country because they want to win. That's the most important thing to these Republicans. They want to win, and they want to win bad. When we come back, the president's Palm Pilot, the liberal agenda, Morning Sedition's Dan Pashman as infiltrator here on Air America Radio.
This year, I'm hearing two kinds of political humor. Type one is the standard fare of Leno, Letterman, and that crew. Easy, cheap shots that are rooted in media stereotypes. You know, George Bush is a moron, John Kerry is a flip-flopper, that type of joke. These are to humor what Chicken McNuggets are to cuisine. They make us laugh. McNuggets will fill you up, but they also reinforce all that's stupid, shallow, and incurious about our political culture. Empty humor calories. The other kind of humor makes us laugh while cutting towards some deeper truth. Okay, so George Bush is thick as a brick. How does he get away with all this stuff? While Daily Show host Jon Stewart interviewed news guy Wolf Blitzer recently, Stewart, in his funny, unique way, asked Blitzer how the mainstream news corps had been so unskeptical of the Bush pretext for the war with Iraq. And there, in the midst of a comedy show, Blitzer cops to groupthink on the part of the media. You could surf the news channels for weeks and never find that insight into today's politics, but it was there on a comedy show. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. Armed attackers, some wearing suicide bomb belts, seized a school in a Russian region bordering Chechnya and were holding hundreds of hostages, including some 400 children. The assault comes one day after a suicide bomber killed 10 people in Moscow. In New York, close to 1,000 protesters were arrested by city authorities last night. This as they continued another day of demonstrations against the policies of President George W. Bush and the Republican Party. The demonstrations will continue, and the city is preparing for the worst, with Vice President Dick Cheney expected to hit the stage tonight at Madison Square Garden. The president reportedly will be in New York this evening. Justice Department is asking a judge to dismiss the convictions of a suspected terrorist cell in Detroit because of prosecutorial misconduct. It was a dramatic setback for the Bush administration's war on terror on the eve of President Bush's acceptance speech at the GOP convention. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman.
All right, we're here live in Egypt where Bam Margera of Jackass fame is attempting to be the first man to skate down the Great Pyramid.
Hey!
And he's off. He's looking pretty good. No. Wait. He's a little unsteady. Oh, it looks like he's taking a bit of a tumble now. Oh, that hurt!
Bam Margera now has his own exclusive radio show on Sirius. Enjoy Tony Hawk, Tom Slater, and Gary Walsh, the top extreme sports stars. All with exclusive show only on Sirius. Action 28.
Coming this fall.
Is it by me?
Hi, I'm Bobby Lyons with another Car Clinic Minute. Eat here and get gas was the slogan for many greasy spoons in the past. But today, the food that feeds your tummy could also fuel your car. When I come back, we'll fill her up with a Blue Plate Special.
Oil is oil. Don't kid yourself. Technology makes better oils possible, like Royal Purple. Royal Purple reduces friction and increases film strength. Go to royalpurple.com and you'll find independent test results from North Carolina and Oklahoma State. Not hype, just facts. What's in it for you? Superior protection, fewer oil changes, more horsepower, torque, and better gas mileage. Find Royal Purple at great stores like Pep Boys, your local high-performance center, and royalpurple.com today.
Next time you grab a burger at the local Greasy Spoon, don't forget to pick up a side of canola, because aftermarket engineers have designed a diesel fueling system that runs on cooking oil. Here's how it works. The car is started with diesel fuel, which in turn heats an oil reserve. Once the oil's up to temperature, the driver flips a switch and converts her car into the kind of lean, mean grilling machine that George Foreman only dreams of. And since many restaurants must pay for oil disposal, drivers could get it to go for free. Order up. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Brought to you by Royal Purple Synthetic Oil, the performance oil that outperforms.
All right, 32 past the hour. We are at the Republican National Convention. Riley was just brought a McDonald's hash browns, and he's acting like he's never seen one before in his life.
It's a racial thing, man.
I've never. What do you mean it's a racial thing?
It's a racial thing. Back in the day, McDonald's wouldn't advertise on black radio, would not advertise their breakfast on black radio because they said black people didn't need breakfast. I haven't eaten breakfast since.
Dude, if it weren't for black people, McDonald's would not be in business.
Yeah, well, they found that out later. But at the time, they would not advertise on any black radio station. I'm serious. This is not a joke.
I know.
They would not advertise on black radio when they started rolling out their breakfast. Because, you know, they didn't do breakfast.
What I'm saying is the momentum of that protest has diminished.
I mean, you know, they spend the money now, but I just don't.
All right.
The same reason why I don't use Aunt Jemima.
Yeah,
all right?
Riley's old school. He's still like against the breakfast at McDonald's.
That's right. I don't eat watermelon either.
I don't eat McDonald's just because of, I really don't eat it unless I have to. I was forced to have a McGriddle at the airport the other day, and you know what happened when I got that McGriddle? Not only was I aesthetically impressed with the structure of the McGriddle, how cute it was and how beautifully perfect. If you're one of those people that listen to me now, I'm pissed at a couple of our listeners because I got some of that feedback, you know what I mean? Because I know someone's like, why are they shamelessly promoting McDonald's? Shut it. And I'm not saying shut up because I know you're like, that sounds like O'Reilly. He's being like O'Reilly. You got too much free time on your hands. I'm saying shut your hole. I'm not saying shut up. All right. But what I'm saying, yeah, sure, you know what? Why don't you put a McGriddle in your hole? That's coming from Mark Maron. So... But the thing is, if you're one of those people that eats pancakes with the eggs and the syrup, some people do that, other people don't. But if you're one of those people...
I am one of those people that
you
does
separate
not.
It?
I separate it at all times.
Look, I've not had one since. I've eaten at McDonald's maybe twice this year, and I have problems with the way they treat animals, to be honest with you. But
they kill them.
No, it's the nature of the way, if you read Fast Food Nation, you know, it whatever. I'm not going to go into that.
I read Animal Factories, which came out before Fast Food Nation.
Back in the day, Riley.
That's right, back in the day.
You read Animal Factory when black people didn't eat at McDonald's.
That's right. When black people didn't eat at McDonald's. And I found out about veal. That was the last time I ate veal.
I don't eat veal either. I try to eat it again once. I'm lying. I've eaten it maybe once in the last 5 years. But the McGriddle's an attractive sandwich. That's all I'm saying. Hey, we've got this from Ramon, who was actually around. Apparently he dropped it off because when I got here, it was here. Here's a presidential Pompeo for today. Here's Bush's schedule. 8 o'clock a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. We can win the war on terror. Can. Deny ever making yesterday's message. Can. 9:30 a.m. Call Arnold. Congratulate him on last night's speech. Note, insert touching story into my acceptance speech about when I was a penniless immigrant. 10 o'clock a.m. Call Laura. Congratulate her on last night's speech. Note, have CIA gather dirt on her. She's getting much too popular. 1 p.m. Fly to Ohio. Tell voters that if it weren't for Pennsylvania or Florida, they'd be America's most important state. 3:30 p.m. Speak at rally, Columbus, Ohio. Note, praise them for their stubborn refusal to choose either candidate. Then yell, go Buckeyes! 8:05 p.m. Visit with firefighters, Italian Charities of America, Elmhurst, New York. Tell them, John Kerry is soft on fire. First he's for it, then he's against it. 9:30 p.m. Return to Washington. Pose for White House photographs of me editing acceptance speech. Note, don't let him make me look like some kind of girly man word pansy. No, that's never going to happen. 11 p.m. Bedtime. Think happy thought. Headline, Bush accepts nomination as Osama is nabbed while windsurfing with Kerry. End quote. Did I quote it at the beginning? Man, we got Larry Korb's coming up, Thomas Frank's coming up, the Nation's John Nichols is coming up. More on Schwarzenegger now. Am I leaving something out that I started and I didn't finish? Because, like, I seem to be, you know, pumping on all cylinders this morning. Karl Rove was on CNN last night, and that guy, what's that guy's name? John King? What? Not Larry King, the other King. John King?
John.
What a wussy. What is that guy? You know what I mean? He let Karl Rove just, you know, like, lay out all his talking points, you know, do the triangulation that he's so good at doing that. Make himself look like, you know, there's no way that guy with that hair that he has, not look. It looks like literally the hair on the top of his head has burned because of the heat that's coming out of his evil head. Do you understand? It's like all fringy and weird and dry.
That's Beethoven, man. Beethoven.
Dude, man, you know, I know I'm making fun of this guy, and they're going to, like, something bad's going to happen. You know,
there was a Secret Service-looking guy was strolling right behind him in the last segment.
The only thing John King said to the guy that he thought was provocative is, like, so are you really the evil genius guy? Are you really, what's it, Mr. Evil, or what's Dr. Evil? And, you know, Karl Rove's like, oh, come on. Yes! He is. Of course he is. I mean, he's shameless about it. He's designed certain tactics that show that he will do anything necessary to win. And the Democrats, you know, let's stick with Arnold. Let's do these other Arnold things. And
are you sure you want to do that? You know, we've been holding this in for the last 2 days. You know that, right?
No, we're going to get... All right, go ahead. Go ahead. Tell me what happened when you went to the Democratic War Room the day before yesterday, before they did what they did today, because they read your mind through the whatever you think.
Osmosis.
Yeah.
Brendan McDonald and I went to the Democratic Party War Room, which isn't really that far from Madison Square Garden here in New York.
Yeah.
We went for a press conference, which is indicative to me of why the Democrats end up playing catch-up all the time.
Right.
When it comes to dealing with the Republicans. The Republicans set out an agenda. They stick to the agenda. The Democrats end up seemingly reacting to their agenda, to the Republicans' agenda, all the time.
Well, we got to say, too, that it's beneficial that the Republicans have such a narrow-minded constituency, that the most of them, whether they're fiscal conservatives or just, you know, straight-out whack jobs, are very narrow-minded. So when you are that narrow-minded, it's very easy to stick by your agenda, because the other stuff is just this riffraff that happens on the periphery of your consciousness, like immoral things, like, you know, like evolution and gay people.
Well, yeah, because you can't deal with the economy. You can't deal really with the war. You can't deal with any level of reality with the war on terror. But I just found that Democratic War Room thing to just be so tired. It was just politics as usual from the Democrats during a time when they need to do better.
Where's our evil genius?
Mission not accomplished?
What is
What is that?
It's hacky, man. Dan Pashman went underground, literally.
Literally.
We have done, you know, it was beyond civil disobedience. We actually breached security. We'll be back with that after this on Air America Radio.
What would it say?
The Smith family doesn't have serious first traffic and weather. The Jones family checks first traffic and weather before every trip. The Smith family doesn't have constantly updated traffic and weather conditions.
Bring in the convertible, Bob. Great idea.
The Jones family got to where they were going fast and are now having a great time. The Smiths are still stuck. Keep up with the Joneses and get where you're going this holiday weekend. First traffic and weather. Sirius 150 to 159.
How is your child's self-esteem? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. A healthy self-esteem doesn't mean self-centeredness or conceit. It simply means that a child has a positive view of himself, and much of a child's self-esteem comes from the home. Clinical psychologist Dr. Michael Sheehan suggests several guidelines for parents to promote self-esteem in their children. First, be sure to give your child time, attention, and unconditional love. Use fair and reasonable consequences to change problem behavior, and be sure to reward your children when you see them doing good things. For more tips on self-esteem, visit FamilyMinute.net. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Big ears, flat feet, buck teeth, bushy hair. Pug nose.
Of all the things to pass down to your child, difficulty reading shouldn't be one of them. That's why at family learning programs, parents and kids learn together so they succeed together. On things like GED preparation, English as a second language, and more. The best way out is by coming in. Call 1-877-FAMILITE1 and pass down the greatest thing of all.
A chance.
Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
Tomorrow, leave home without it. Just once or even twice a week, leave your car parked and get around another way. Try taking mass transit, carpooling, walking, or biking. Not only will you save a lot of money and aggravation, you'll also help to reduce traffic congestion and pollution. So keep it up, because it all adds up to cleaner air. Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the EPA.
What's up with the sink?
Somebody left it on.
Really?
Yeah, I've been in here 3 times since this morning. Still going.
Okay, that is so not cool.
What's not cool?
Look at the faucet.
Oh, that's so weird.
Should we do something?
You guys weren't using this, were you?
No.
Don't just take a stand. Act. The most powerful way is to register and vote. It's ridiculously simple. Log on to registerandvote2004.org and take action. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ag Council.
Fighting for our lives here.
42 past the hour at the Republican National Convention. Me and Riley are sitting here, and I'm looking right at Gail Norton's behind. And you know what? It's toxic. It's toxic. There are toxic pollutants coming out of the woman. The environmental assassin. The Secretary for the Interior does not know I'm talking about her. Oh, my God, she's moving. Look at it move.
She's turning towards you.
Oh, my God.
She's coming this way.
Don't let her slime me. Hey,
another B-list.
Where are we at? Oh, Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman, of New Jersey, went underground, undercover, to pull a report. You wouldn't believe it, man. The dude, you know, could have, like, someone answered Bloomberg's phone. And by the way, those of you who were commenting about my treatment of Bloomberg, we had 8 minutes. And you know what? We got a lot of stuff out of him. And you know what else? The guy is, you know, a guy without an island. He's been disenfranchised by the Democrats. He's been disenfranchised by the Republicans. He's just a guy with a lot of money trying to balance a budget of the biggest city in the United States. And you know what? We took him to task. So if it wasn't good enough for you, maybe you should deal with your hate issues. All right?
Word.
Anyways, so, Dan Pashman, let's lay it out. You were talking to a dude, who works here at the Garden, and he took you on a little trip.
You know what? You know what's interesting about this? This happened during a time when there were protests all over the city. 1,000 people got busted on the streets of New York yesterday. There were people infiltrating. One guy got within 10 feet of Dick Cheney, 21-year-old Yaley, no less. I don't know if he ever dated either one of the Bush twins, but a 21-year-old Yaley got within 10 feet of the Vice President of the United States, shouted anti-war slogans, and was carted off.
That's it?
Yeah.
Damn.
That's good.
It's okay.
That's nice work, if you can get it.
There's some days where you sort of wish the parallax view would happen, or wish maybe the Manchurian candidate for the right side would manifest itself. But we've got our own undercover man. Can we just go right into it, Dan?
Yeah.
Let's set it up in any way?
Let's do it.
This is Dan Pashman for Air America. I am underneath Madison Square Garden, underneath the stage here with our friend the stagehand. We just passed the dressing rooms. So the ice is beneath us right now?
Okay, no, this is the floor of the arena. This is where we build the ice. Where the next play, where we've got concerts.
Right.
The performance stage. And this is the lift. And each one of those poles is rated for like 12,000 pounds.
Wow. So we can get some fat singers up there.
Yeah.
All right. All right. We are underneath the stage here. So, hypothetically, if somebody wanted to cut out George W. Bush's teleprompter right as he begins his speech, is this where you'd want to be to do that?
I'm not even sure where that would be. This is mostly audio.
So to cut out his mic, this is where I'd want to be?
Yeah, you could do that.
I could cut out his mic from down here?
Room over there.
Bulletproof room back there. That thing there says, do not touch. What's that?
What's that? That's for this lift here, for the toaster. And the podium. The podiums come out of the deck also.
So we're directly beneath the podium?
Yeah, that's the podium right here.
That is the podium. The main podium is right there. We are directly underneath it at this time. Now, do not touch, so we shouldn't touch that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the controls board.
Now, what if we wanted to type in silly words into the president's teleprompter speech? Where would we go to do that?
There's a booth right on the stage. Helicopter operates. So we go. See the way we came? If we came from the other, they wouldn't let us in here. So I thought I'd be about that.
Right. And now you said all these signs back here, all those signs that look like they're hand-painted, actually been trucked in and printed?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of 4 more year signs. I think if you add up all these years, this is like 1 billion years.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
Oofa.
Yeah.
No. You know there's no media in this part of the floor? Did you guys know that?
I did not.
Mm-mm. No media on the fifth floor. Like in the OP.
Okay.
No go.
Okay, we'll head out then. All right, I just got kicked out of the Republican National Convention. Ow! I'll let you throw it back to the guys.
All right, this is Local One stagehand, 9-year stagehand at Madison Square Garden. Back to you, Mark and Mark.
Good work. Good work, Dan Pashman.
Nice work, Pashman. Now, we should let the audience know that Dan Pashman was directly underneath Laura Bush minutes
after
she finished speaking. That's the location that where he was.
Under the platform.
Under the platform.
He just has this image of
No. Not like that.
Yahtzee! Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman, New Jersey, doing the big work, infiltrating, security breach man.
Yeah.
That's good work, dude.
Nice job, Pastor.
It really was, you know. It was kind of exciting. I hope that guy, we don't need to say anything more about that dude. You know what I mean? But just the fact that he was like, dude, that's where you could cut the wires. So I guess what we're saying, Pashman, is your job isn't over.
Yeah,
someone's
right.
Got something to do Thursday night, I think.
Yeah, really.
I'll just add that we may be hearing from this gentleman again. I made a contact with him, and he may be an inside source for us for further information.
Right. I just want to remind people that tonight is the night of pure evil here at the convention. We've got the double Cheney ticket, which, you know, if the eyes of the liberals and Democrats around the world don't melt out of their heads tonight and they start babbling nonsense and, you know, become the walking dead, you know, then they'll have to wait till Thursday for that happen. Rick Santorum, who I think
God, not him.
Deeply gay and deeply unable to really talk about it in any in any way that would make him comfortable. Why does it have to be a dude like McGreevy? Why can't Santorum snap and be the one caught in the bathhouse? That would be so great.
The convention isn't over yet, okay?
And I'm not saying that to slander the guy. I'm saying that because all I'm saying is I'm reaching out to Senator Rick Santorum. It's okay, man. It's okay. Come out.
Yeah,
come
out. Catch rock.
We're here. We're queer. Get used to it. Do you understand? I want to hear that. Not 4 more years. And I might want to add that, you know, I am not personally gay, but I will. And I am not, I'm not saying that I have anything.
Explain personally.
What does that mean?
Exactly.
I personally am not, you know, but I do support all the gayness that goes on.
Oh.
I'm a big supporter of gayness.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight we have a tribute to Ronald Reagan, which probably, knowing these people, could take up to 4 hours.
Yeah.
Hey, who shot that film? Is that going to be like a large, what event does that look like? And then speakers tonight, that's, I already said that. Oh, music by Brooks and Dunn and by Christian rock band Third Day. Wow, big fun for four people. Who, you have Brooks and, I don't know.
Brooks,
man.
And Dunn and Third Day?
Christian rock bands. These guys will steal anything, won't they? They'll
was
just
Donnie
take
McClurkin
it.
On last night?
Huh?
Was Donnie McClurkin? Oh, he's on tomorrow. Ooh.
He's on tomorrow with the big
shots. Wait a
minute.
They got a black guy singing the same night the president's speaking?
Yeah, can he pretend?
Now that's progress.
Thomas Frank, you're gonna make us understand everything. We're getting him coffee. He's going to be on in a minute. I'm so glad he's here. I read your book, man. I read the whole thing. I put little marks on the ears. You're gonna sign it for me, and we're gonna tear these guys up. You know what I mean? Okay, good. Because your guy Brownback was on last night.
Uh-oh.
All right. So I'm sorry. I'm talking to him off mic. I'm thrilled. Bill Bennett is not in yet. I guess maybe late night Atlantic City.
Come on.
I don't know why he has been
pounced. Hello, Seven.
Here we go, Seven. We'll be back in a second on Air America Radio.
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice Cream Man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza Man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call American Satellite. 1-800-264-0071. That's 1-800-264-0071. Ask how you can get Total Choice Premier free for 4 months, a $360 value. 1-800-264-0071. Call now.
Add $4.99 a month for second and each additional receiver. Offer ends October 30th, 2004.
New customers only. Annual programming commitment required.
The Smith family doesn't have serious first traffic and weather. The Jones family checks first traffic and weather before every trip. The Smith family doesn't have constantly updated traffic and weather conditions. The Jones family got to where they were going fast and are now having a great time. The Smiths are still stuck. Keep up with the Joneses and get where you're going this holiday weekend. First traffic and weather, Sirius 150 to 159.
My shirt was soaked with sweat. I started to feel pins and needles in my legs. I couldn't breathe.
This is 49-year-old James Price.
Everything just went black. I remember hearing an ambulance.
James is reading from a diary.
When I woke up in the hospital, they told me I'd had a stroke.
Belonging to his 14-year-old son, Stephen, who took the drug ecstasy. Talk to your kids about the dangers of ecstasy. To learn more from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America, visit AskYourKidsAboutE.com.
Let's be blunt about marijuana. Did you know, as many kids do, that blunt is street slang for a hollowed-out cigar filled with marijuana? Sometimes blunts contain marijuana mixed with cocaine, crack, PCP, methamphetamine, even embalming fluid. How's that for a reality check? Learn to have a blunt talk with your kids about drugs. Call 1-800-729-6686 for a free copy of Keeping America's Youth Drug Free.
If you think of a library as that place where shh is the only thing you hear, think again. Many are being forced to cut back hours, reduce services, even close their doors. The time to support your local library is now. Contact your library to find out how you can help keep the doors open. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. For more info, visit the American Library Association at www.ala.org.
Right now?
Why don't they talk about the issues?
We're fighting for our lives here.
You know, we got Thomas Frank is in the wings waiting to tear it up. We've got, you know, Larry Korb coming. We've got the Washington editor for The Nation, John Nichols, later in the show. We've got more Schwarzenegger. I just wanted to really point out that just how insensitive and classist and fascistic this whole real event is, and, you know, and how, you know, shamelessly imperialistic it is, if I can use those words, and be sort of preachy and get up on the box. So
Go ahead.
Wait, so we got a clip, right, Riley?
We got a clip. You know, with all of the talk in America, as opposed to the Republican convention, about the economy of this country, Arnold had a message for people who may be concerned about America's economy. Let's go to that.
And to those critics who are so pessimistic about our economy, I say, don't be economic girly man.
Yeah. If you're one of the 35.9 million people who are living below the poverty line, don't be girly men. Come on, get up and get at it. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Oh, you don't have any boots.
45 million people who don't have health care. Don't worry about it.
And that's 1.3 million more than last year. And the number of people living without health insurance is like 45 million. It's unbelievable. George Bush has lost 1.1 million net jobs since taking office. But they don't be an economic girly man.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what he means by that. California's unemployment rate is not all that great at this point.
I'll tell you what he means. He's calling poor people wussies for being poor.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of a variation on that whole thing yesterday with Jonathan Larson and the Pepsi can.
Yeah, how about the jobs creation? Where's the creating the jobs?
What jobs creation?
Exactly.
There has been very little, if any, jobs creation. But hey, what the heck? We're at a Republican convention. We don't need no jobs creation.
We don't need no stinking jobs.
You know, we'll just go out and be shills for the party. What's the problem?
I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. And all that other stuff he said, you know, maybe we'll get more into that later. Because there was that whole list about, you know, if you believe that government should be accountable to the people, not the people of the government, then you are a Republican. If you believe a person should be treated as an individual, not as a member of an interest group, then you're a Republican. Unless you're, you know, trying to figure out which interest groups will vote Republican. I mean, the hypocrisy in these statements that Arnold made are unbelievable. If you believe your family knows how to spend your money better than the government does, then you are a Republican. What is this whole idea that people shouldn't pay any taxes? How do you think they're going to maintain the roads? How do you think your mail's going to get from place to place? How do you think the schools are going to be run? How do you think you're going to get your driver's license? Why doesn't the post office work properly? You idiots, you have to pay some taxes. You know what I mean? It's not, you know, and the guys who are getting the tax breaks for real are only the really rich people that should be putting more in than other people. And you people that think, if you think that, you know, you're getting a $200 check back and they're doing you some kind of favor, you got to be a moron.
Let me explain something to you. Arnold's thing is just for this convention. There's going to be a very real question, and we're going to see this play out in the weeks ahead. How much is George W. Bush going to take Arnold on the road with him when the time comes?
I think Arnold's going to detach himself. Isn't that what he's not, you know?
Exactly.
He's too immoral and dirty.
Not now, I'm busy.
Yeah. Or they're just not going to. Okay, here's the Streisand compound from the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Write these down. One, use soft money to buy up RNC's supply of balloons and replace them with organic hemp inflatables in the shapes of endangered species. Don't tell that to Gail Norton. Have her come over here. Two, produce a tack ad from Austrian immigrant bodybuilders against Arnold. Three, during Bush's acceptance speech, bribe Madison Square Garden announcer to get on the PA and read off the starting lineup for the Knicks. Four, during roll call of states, grab the microphone and claim to be the delegate from the great state of oppression, man. Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. McCain is a douchebag, but Cheney's an even bigger douchebag. There you go. Did I say that too loud? Oh, no, here comes Gail Norton with a seal.
No.
A dead seal that she's going to hit me with. All right.
Coming up in the next hour of Morning Sedition, author Thomas Frank, The Dream Diary, The War on Brains, more Morning Sedition infiltration, and Lawrence Korb here on Air America Radio.
It was way too much for my body, and I started tripping really, really bad. I curled up in a ball in a corner, started ripping out my hair, then slit my wrist with a steak knife. Fell into a coma and had to get my stomach pumped. I'm now in therapy in a rehab group. At school, I'm not even called by my name anymore. People just refer to me as that junkie.
This 15-year-old didn't die using ecstasy, though she probably wished she had. Leave ecstasy alone. To learn how or to read other real-life ecstasy tragedies, visit drugfreeamerica.org.
When was the last time you tested your smoke alarms? Last month? Last year? Can't remember? If you're not sure your smoke alarms are working, then how can you be sure you'll be protected if a fire breaks out? Don't gamble with your life and assume your smoke alarms are working. Test each one every month so you know they'll be ready to protect you and your family if there's a fire. Test your alarms for life. Compromise off. Sirius on. Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Sirius. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. 50 students may have escaped, but reports say as many as 200 school children are reportedly in the hands of their captors in a Russian region bordering Chechnya. Armed attackers staged a raid of the school where many of them are being held hostage. The assault comes on the heels of a suicide bombing attack just the day before, killing 10 people in Moscow. The seizure began after a ceremony marking the first day of the Russian school year, when it was likely that many parents had accompanied their children to class. The armed attackers appear to be elements of the Al-Qaeda-linked Islam-believed brigades. That group last week claimed responsibility for the twin air disasters over Russia, killing as many as 90 people. In New York, the demonstrations against President Bush and the Republican Party are becoming hot and heavy, with the arrest last night of close to 1,000 people in parts of Midtown Manhattan. Large number of protesters attempted to march from Ground Zero up to the site of the Republican National Convention, but local authorities outnumbered them, resulting in several arrests. Only a couple dozen demonstrators managed to make their way to the Madison Square Garden. Authorities are preparing for even more protests today as the convention enters its third day. While it may have looked like anarchy outside the garden last night, it was a love fest inside as the tributes continued to pour in for President Bush. Among those playing on the emotions of Republican delegates last night was First Lady Laura Bush. She talked about the accomplishments of her husband and his efforts to reform the nation's education system.
I could talk about my passion, education. At every school we visit, the students are so eager. Last fall, the president and I walked into an elementary school in Hawaii, and a little second grader came out to welcome us and bellowed, "George Washington." Close, just the wrong George W.
First Lady Laura Bush, as she addressed the convention last night. President Bush received more bad news on the economy yesterday. In the very week, the Grand Ole Party is convening in the city and touting his accomplishments. Private research group, the Conference Board, says consumer confidence is down. The decline has been attributed to poor job growth and rising oil prices in the previous month. Spokesperson for the group maintains that if conditions don't improve in the employment market, consumer confidence could actually worsen. Justice Department is asking a judge to throw out the convictions of a suspected terror cell in Detroit because of prosecutorial misconduct, a dramatic setback for the Bush administration's war on terror on the eve of the reelection pitch at the GOP convention by President Bush. In a late Tuesday night court filing, the department told U.S. District Court Judge Joe Rosen it supports the Detroit defendant's request for a new trial and would no longer pursue terrorism charges against them. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Welcome to Jen and Barry's Ice Cream. What flavor would you like, sir?
Hey there. I'll take a little of all 120 flavors, please.
That's, a lot to try, sir.
I got the car, I got the kids, and a hell of a long drive ahead.
Yeah,
who knows?
But
I like chocolate, so maybe I'll like Super Mocha Fudge. Wrap it to go, kid. Time's a-wasting.
There's a lot to sample. I'm serious. So this Labor Day weekend, surf around. You might just surprise yourself with something you never thought you'd like. Serious. Find your favorites.
Hope it nuts.
This is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Ryan, the 12-year-old, is worried about his parents' debt. I'll talk to him after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Ryan is 12 and wants to do things the right way.
Hi, I was just wondering on how I could stay away from my parents' debt and how I could help them with that debt.
How old are you?
12.
Wow, what a really mature question for a 12-year-old. By stay away from their debt, do you mean not have debt when you're a grown-up?
Not going into the same problems that they're at.
What do you think caused their debt?
Credit cards.
It's credit card debt, but how did they get credit card debt?
Because they bought it.
They bought stuff that they didn't have money to pay for. So the rule is real simple. If you can't pay for it, don't buy it.
Uh-huh.
If you do that one alone, that one thing alone, all of a sudden, you won't have debt. It's not any harder than that. Now, as far as you helping them with their debt, man, I think that's a real noble and nice gesture on your part. But my man, at 12 years old, it ain't your job.
Okay.
It's your job to play football in the backyard and get your homework done. And you not to worry about that stuff.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Okay, go ahead.
I have something very
Sound it out.
Important.
Good.
To talk to dads about reading with your children. Most kids want to read. If you spend even a little time with them every night, it will help a lot. It will help most. What's this word?
Take each letter at a time.
Motivate.
Good job.
What's it mean?
Yeah, it means to encourage or, you know, help someone do something better.
Help motivate them to try harder, which can help them become better readers, even faster.
Excellent.
When kids read better, it builds their confidence, and that can make a big difference in a kid's life while they grow up.
You're getting really good.
Thanks, Dan.
Keep going.
Reading with
For more ideas on how to be a better dad, call 1-800-790-DADS. This has been a message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
All right, what do you want to read next?
Hi, I'm Mark Maron. You're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning's Edition.
Talk about the issues. We're fighting for our lives here.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Good morning, geniuses. Philosopher kings and queens, hipsters and hipster haters. We're at the Republican National Convention. We are here. We're in it. We're in the belly of the beast. We had quite a compelling first hour. It is 6 past the hour, if you want to know exactly. Dan Pashman, son of Lewis, and Linda Pashman is of New Jersey, is busy putting our morning sedition sign up, which is really two ripped pieces of paper. We are, you know what, I watched Karl Rove last night on CNN, because God knows he needs airtime. You know, it's good that he can get on the air and just, you know, deliver his talking points with clarity and the pure sort of precise evil that he's capable of. And the weird thing was, he was talking to John King, the White House correspondent, and John King brought up this thing that I didn't even notice. We were talking about this yesterday. I was talking about the podium out there, and I said, wow, that was really, it's beautifully crafted, and I wondered how many sort of craftsmen and carpenters were actually Republicans and why it looks so much better than the Democratic podium that we had at our convention. And somebody, and John King brought up the fact that some people were saying that it looks like a pulpit, a religious pulpit with a cross on it, okay? And Karl Rove, yes, it's Karl Rove, and Karl Rove looked over his shoulder and basically went, oh, where did they come up with that stuff? And I'm looking at it going, oh my God, it is! You know, it's like, where do you see a cross there? That's what Rove is saying. I'm like, what do you mean, where do you see it? It's right there. It's right there. There's a cross. It's cut at hip level, which is where they put religious pulpits, and the top of the cross would be whoever's head is standing right there. They are that devious. They are that meticulous in their planning. And then I started realizing, deconstructing of what was on the screen and when it's on the screen. When Schwarzenegger was up there, they had the American flag sort of waving. And when Giuliani was up there yesterday, they just had the solitary Empire State Building, which is, you know, says a lot in itself, given that is what is left of the New York City skyline after what happened. You know, that the implication of the solitary nature of it now and the politicizing of 9/11, completely the subtext.
Don't worry, they got stained glass that'll be going up when Bush speaks.
I can't wait to talk to our guest. He's the author of What's Wrong with Kansas. He's the publisher, the editor, and the creator of the Baffler Quarterly, which I've been reading for years. Thomas Frank is here. Good morning.
How you doing?
Good morning.
You getting that coffee going?
Got that
oh, yeah.
Coffee?
And I have something to add to what you're talking about, the what was going on in the podium last night. First of all, when Bush introduced Laura Bush, when G.W. Bush introduced Laura Bush.
At the softball game?
The softball players in the background.
That wasn't a game.
Every one of them was wearing the number 43. Did you notice that? Every single player. It was clearly staged. Okay.
They really were. That's hilarious. Here, we just got a box of jerseys, fellas. Just put them on. It doesn't matter. It's not going to matter. Yeah. No one's going to notice.
And they didn't notice that the president was just standing a few feet away, you know, talking into his TV cameras. Hey, just a nice, friendly game of softball there in Pennsylvania, you know,
where
everybody loves to play baseball all day long.
But, you know, it was a giveaway. When the guy got a hit, he just, like, walked off camera. He didn't run to first base.
Yeah, and then, like, 2 seconds later, the same guy bat again. What kind of game is that? Is that some sort of weird, newfangled softball they play in Pennsylvania?
Okay,
swing
two.
Softball.
Thing two.
Yes, sir.
The lieutenant governor of Maryland, I forget his first name, but his last name was Steele.
Michael Steele.
Michael Steele. Read a famous hoax from the podium. The quote that he read from Abraham Lincoln about you don't raise somebody up by tearing down the strong. Lincoln never said it. This is a famous hoax. Republicans have been falling for it for years. It was actually invented by a businessman in the 1920s.
Really? So why can they just do that? Keep using
nobody calls them on it. I was watching the commentators right afterwards. That would be considered rude.
You know why? Because a lot of them aren't smart enough. The commentators. What do you think about the way, not only the way this one's being covered, but the way the Democratic convention is being covered?
Well, look, I'm really.
Why don't they have you on?
Yeah, right. Ask yourself that sometime. No, I'm really skeptical and even cynical about the way that the big media covers this sort of thing. And the funny thing is that my critique of them is automatically goes nowhere because. I'm a liberal. I should have no problem with them, right? They're on my team. Everybody knows that they,
Of the liberal media. The great myth of the liberal media. It's ridiculous. It was like, where? Even last night.
You guys are liberals. You're on the media.
Yeah, we are. It was a long, hard fight.
We're as close as a guest. Yeah. Absolutely.
But we were trying to rally for, like, they had Ralph Reed, talk after Edwards' speech on CNN. So we were rallying to get Noam Chomsky or maybe you to comment after Cheney's speech tonight. Would you be up for it?
That would rock. But tonight I'm going to be busy. I actually have a print deadline, and I'm going to be working around the clock all day.
What's the story?
It's about this convention.
Yeah? How's that going?
Right now, the story doesn't exist. I got to write it between now and tonight. But I'll tell you what I'm going to be writing about. But what else was I going to say about the media? Now that I've got this coffee, now I'm really starting to gel.
About the liberal media.
So for this book, so I've been going all around the country, promoting this book, and I talk to radio people all over the country.
Yeah.
And every now and then TV people. And... I'm a liberal, so my perspective is obviously going to be a little bit skewed. But let me just tell you something: the mainstream media people are not liberals. They're not anything.
They're robots.
Like, yeah.
They're strange.
It's very strange. They know not to say racist slurs over the air, and I guess that makes them liberal.
Every once in a while, they gurgles up though. That's the best thing.
No, but they know better than that. They're well trained white collar professional people.
Yeah.
They know not to insult any groups over the air.
Right.
But when you start talking about the things that are the working class issues that I talk about, the blue collar issues, economic issues, their eyes glaze over. They think you're from another planet. They don't understand that at all. They think that's crazy radicalism, and they want nothing to do with it. They're not liberal, and the only sense in which they're liberal is that they're polite.
Right. And in the sense of even the people that you talk about in your book, even the blue-collar people who are now, on the floor as delegates, and the two schools, the two types of Republican that you talk about in your book, the moderates and the conservatives, it seems like those blue-collar people don't know what to talk about either.
Right.
When it comes to
those, for them, those issues are gone. Those issues are... something has been just annoying me for the last couple of days. I was reading the New York Magazine, and I'm writing for them these days, so I can't, I'm not going to badmouth them. They're a fine publication.
Yeah.
But they ran this essay by Adam Bello, son of Saul.
Yeah.
And in it, he was explaining how he became a conservative. And he said he became a conservative as a reaction to liberalism being a marker of social class. For him, being a liberal meant that you are a rich person.
Right.
Okay? And so he said, the hell with that. I'm revolting against rich people. I'm going to be a conservative.
Right.
Now, just think about that for a minute.
Makes no sense.
Right.
Completely ridiculous.
You didn't know many black people.
A rich conservative is not revolting against anything. That's,
God, his dad must just be, is Saul still around?
Yeah, he is. I
can't imagine that he's talking to his son.
It's just, you know, what an inversion. You just think about John D. Rockefeller. Just think about William Randolph Hearst.
Yeah.
You know, liberals?
Yeah, yeah. right. Or how about this administration?
Yeah.
Any of them? Liberals?
Right.
I get, you know what? I think so much of that comes because Saul Bellow, he's not a conservative, is he?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah, I mean, from my recollection, maybe I'm wrong.
No, he's not a conservative.
He's not, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's probably some sort of weird father-son issue because I think that's what we're all paying for father-son issues.
Yeah.
Osama and his father, this president and his father. You know, it's like the spite of the son is ruining the world.
But this is something that you find all over the place, but it's a broader cultural phenomenon. This guy probably has some kind of personal, you know, personal reasons for thinking this idea that is flatly wrong. And
well, there's
ridiculous,
a lot of them.
But
there's a lot of those hippie turncoats that, you know, the guys that were progressives and part of the movement in the 60s that have become some of the neocons, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, well, the neocons, the original ones go way back. And these guys are very interesting. And I live in Washington these days. I used to live in Chicago, but now Washington. And in Washington, it's very fashionable to badmouth the neocons among conservatives.
Oh, yeah.
They do this all the time because the neocons are the ones that planned this stupid war. They didn't plan it very well, you know, and it's a disaster.
Pat Buchanan's been wolfing about that quite a bit.
That's right. I went to the Cato. I went to a conference at the Cato Institute, and they were just people. When they would talk about the neocons, people would hiss.
But isn't that a triangulating whisper campaign on some level? You know, when these guys start,
they'll get back together later. You know?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So we're going to characterize this the type of people you talk about in your book, the bitter men and the working class. Who are no longer concerned.
And the neocons are actually a good way. Oh, we're stopping now.
Well, no, go ahead. Well, you tease
okay.
it.
The neocons are a good way of getting into that because these guys go way back. They were a lot of these guys back in the 60s. They weren't hippies. They were members of the. They were like Trotskyites. They were actual members of the like old left who were so disgusted by the 60s that they moved over and they brought the idea of social class with them and they deliberately invented a way of talking about social class where conservatives were the working class.
That's a good place to tease. So, yeah, we're going to flesh that out in just a minute here on Air America Radio with Thomas Frank.
Are you a homeowner in need of a refi to pay off debt, strapped for cash, and need to lower your monthly payments? Save now before rates go back up. Even with less than perfect credit, you can still grab a great rate, even below 6%. That's right. If you own your own home, we can lower your monthly payments. Get cash in your hand, even if you have mortgage late or a past bankruptcy.
This is Jim Eichenbaum with Omega Mortgage Acceptance Corporation. And even if you have less than perfect credit, we can still help you take advantage of rates less than 6%. So don't be misled by empty promises made by other lenders who keep asking for more time and paperwork. At Omega, there's no bait and switch, no upfront fees, just straight talk and honesty.
No need for mountains of documentation or tons of paperwork. We don't even need tax returns. Great if you're self-employed. Just call 888-32-APPLY today. Get approved in less than 20 minutes. We specialize in refis for homeowners just like you. Call 888-32-APPLY right now and lower your monthly payment. Pay off debt, even get cash. Call 888-32-APPLY today. That's 888-322-7759. Licensed by the Cal DRE, number 01411312. 888-32-APPLY.
The Connection from NPR. Where do you go for your daily shot of intellectual caffeine? Think of The Connection as a supersized Vendi with a whole lot of frothy ideas, angles, and attitude. It will get you going, thinking, dreaming, and make it very hard to slow down. I'm Dick Gordon. Join us on The Connection from NPR.
The Connection, weekdays, live at 10 a.m. Eastern on NPR Talk 107.
Do your children like to hug each other? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. In our home, we hug our kids a lot, but have noticed that our children don't hug each other very much. One of our kids loves to hug. The others act like it's no big deal. But hugging with frequency and sincerity is food for the soul. So guess what? We're teaching our kids how to hug each other. First, a hug has to be a full embrace. One arm, half-hearted hugs don't count. Second, it has to be at least 10 seconds to be a good one. Sure, you're going to get some moans, groans, and eye rolls, but maybe after they've hugged enough, it will become a cherished habit. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First.
To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask about the apartment on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented. May I help you?
My name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available. Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim, call 800-669-9777. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
We're back, 18 past the hour at the Republican National Convention. I'm here with Mark Riley.
Hi.
I'm Mark Maron. Thomas Frank is here. We're all hanging out. Saul Bellow is a conservative. We've got confirmation. We've got confirmation. I was thinking about Studs Terkel in my head, who is a hero of Thomas Frank's. And we're going to talk about more with Thomas in 1 minute. I just got to share this with you. This is for my therapist tomorrow. Here's my dream diary from last night. I have that dream again, the one where Halliburton has bought Air America Radio. And I have this truly horrendous morning show, which scares me more than I can tell you. It goes like this. Good morning, neocons. This is Mark the Shark Maron with Right and Early, the conservative's way to wake up, right here on Radio Halliburton. And hey, we're here at the Republican Convention in New York City. That's right, hallelujah. Hey, GOP, next time have this convention somewhere in America. How would that be? This is like freaky town, all these crazy restaurants. I mean, who would want to eat Thai food? I mean, I guess those liberals will swallow anything. That's right. And the protesters, P.U., hello, slackers. Am I right? You're wanted back on the planet lazy. But that's the convention. But I'll tell you what, the convention's been fantastic success for our brave war president. USA, USA. How about John McCain sticking it to that traitor Michael Moore? Moore? Is that what you say at dinner? Hey, guess what? You're fat. And you know what? You're fat. Four more beers. Four more beers. Four more beers. Yeah, that's right. Hey, let's take a call. Hello?
You're running cranking liberals against your girly men. I love rushing.
Well, back up exactly. I think you just scared all the liberals off the welfare line. Look at all the stars here. Wow, Arnold Schwarzenegger, or should I say President Schwarzenegger, huh? Who's with me? Who's with me? And Brooks and Dunn, fantastic. You'd never get this kind of turnout for Ho Chi Carey, would you? Hey, liberals, do you mind if we have some fun? Your idea of a good time is probably Saddam and the Al-Qaeda 5. That's right. And tonight, Vice President Cheney, checking the mail, big guy. Checking the mail. That's right. You know, all you New Yorkers whining about 9/11 when President Bush has given so much to protect you weirdos, I wouldn't have given you a dime. You understand? Not a dime. You should all get down on your knees to that man. Hey, all right, and I don't mean you, Governor McGreevy. That's right. All right. All right. Oh, God. Okay. Okay. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. I woke up and my bed was filled with rotten planks. Man, I do that a little too well, don't I, Tom? So we're still here with Thomas Frank, and you were talking about how some of the neocons were originally liberals; they were leftists.
Yeah, they were the real deal. They were trots.
Yeah.
Back in the day, and then they changed sides, and I read the best account of all this is Barbara Ehrenreich wrote a book called Fear of Falling about mm-hmm. changing ideas about social class. One of them, I forget which of the original neocons, wrote a famous essay in the Wall Street Journal saying, I'm going to invent a way of talking about social class where the real divide between the classes isn't between, you know, the Fortune 500 and the rest of us or the management and the workers and that sort of thing, but it's between real Americans and liberals,
right?
You and me.
And right.
Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
He wrote that in the 70s. Today, that has come to pass. That is widely believed by people, and especially in a place like Kansas. Well, this is the whole red state myth.
Yeah.
This is what it's all about. And that's what explains, that's the idea behind the kind of populist conservatism that you find all across this country. You can tune in. I mean, back then this was kind of a highbrow idea. You know, this the guy who came up with it, these were highly educated people deliberately deliberately doing something. But now this is common knowledge. This is like you turn on the AM radio and you can hear Rush Limbaugh, you know, bloviate about this all day long. You turn on Fox News and they've got whole TV programs dedicated to it.
But
to
it's
this
completely
idea.
Orwellian. It completely makes no sense. They have co-opted the language of the left and made it and taken it for their own and somehow hypnotized these people through religion and through culture issues, wedge issues, into believing that they're still fighting the good fight with the right team.
Well, yeah, but the old issues are gone, as though they never existed. The issues that used to mobilize voters like
what?
That. I don't know, like minimum standard of living, health care, you know, Social Security.
Right.
These people are. Here's a funny story. This a Republican leader in Kansas. A friend of mine was working in a framing shop or something like that, and one of the Republican leaders in Wichita came into his shop thinking he was the boss and said, you know, don't you want, you know, to get these Republic or the government off your back? Don't you want them to, you know? And he said, what do you mean, like do away with the minimum wage? And she's like, yeah, we got to do away with the minimum wage. And you know, and of course he was earning the minimum wage at the time.
So is it, in the book you explore this idea that this comes from there's Mayor Bloomberg. There's this idea that
you just watch the celebrities all day here from Radio Row.
They're not quite celebrities to me. They're just guys on the news that I usually, you know, don't understand why they have a job.
I saw G. Gordon Liddy.
Yeah, he was here. We saw Bill Bennett's right down Radio Row. He's right over there. And we saw Newt Gingrich in here yesterday. I don't want to distract from my point. Is that these people, along with their religious beliefs, also believe in some sort of, you know, very, you know, ornate liberal conspiracy, which is this. And they believe that almost religiously.
Yeah, well, this is the idea of a liberal conspiracy is central to the conservative worldview. If you took that away, the whole thing would topple. I mean, every conservative book that you pick up or tract or article or anything begins with the notion that the media will not tell you the truth because they're committed to the Democratic Party in some sneaky, underhanded way.
So even when the truth comes out, these people will say they're spinning it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why it's absolutely central to their way of looking at the world. You take a guy like Sam Brownback, has spent his entire career, and he's in the news today, obviously, for his remarks last night, but he spent his entire career warring against Hollywood and, talking about culture. Okay. You know, I'm willing to admit that Hollywood sucks. Can I say that on the radio?
Sure, sure.
And I'm willing to. I'm right there with the conservatives when they tell me about how much they hate TV. You know, I don't like TV either. You know, and that's easy. It's easy to hate the mass media. The problem comes when you start talking about why the mass media is the way it is. And for them, that you know, they never answer that question. They can never actually go any deeper than just to hate it. Okay. The next step is, you know, why is it the way it is? Because of liberals.
But that's
the answer. Because of liberals.
Ridiculous.
Of course it's ridiculous. These things are giant media, you know, conglomerates. These are corporate enterprises. The people that own them are Republicans.
Right,
you know?
Right. Absolutely.
It's private enterprise. It's the very people that they're giving tax cuts to, that they're deregulating all the time.
And make money making these people
the
hate.
The only way you can solve that, the only way you can get yourself out of that logical, you know, impasse is by believing in a liberal media conspiracy.
Well, you know, people tend to vapor lock when you start pointing that sort of thing out. But, you know, yesterday there was a meeting at the Waldorf Astoria, a rally that was, by the way, called by the Bush-Cheney campaign, featured Sam Brownback, who is senator from Kansas. And it was a call to arms for evangelical Christians. It was a very interesting gathering because it was done kind of out of the mainstream, out of the light. It's in today's New York Times, and it was called the Family, Faith, and Freedom Rally. And when we come back, I want to talk about this and have you maybe deconstruct a little bit, because Sam Brownback said that the Republicans have to win the culture war. It seems like he's trying to rechannel Pat Buchanan from 92. Yeah. And is there, when we come back, I want to talk about whether or not there's a danger in them doing this
Okay.
over the long term.
Like who runs the party, really.
Yeah.
Because these guys have gotten a lot of power, as you say in your book, you know, coming up through the school boards, through the Congress, you know, and through, you know, through just mobilizing.
I'll give you a hint, though. They don't have a chance of winning the culture wars. I mean, they know it. They all know it.
They can't win. They're unwinnable.
What, they're going to bring back school prayer? Sorry. There's a constitution. You can't.
Yeah, okay. So we're going to follow through with that stuff and also talk about where this all started in Wichita when we come back in a minute.
That's right. Coming up, the president's Palm Pilot. I'm looking at the wrong thing again. From the Center for American Progress, senior fellow Lawrence Korb, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, and the War on Brains, when we come back here on Air America Radio.
New York City, September 4th at Town Hall. Mother Jones Magazine presents The State of the Union, an evening of uncensored political comedy to benefit uncensored, uncompromising independent media. Starring Air America host Janine Garofalo and Liz Winstead, bipartisan smartass Will Durst, comic artist Ward Sutton, Eugene Merman, and friends. Tickets through Ticketmaster. More information at motherjones.com.
If you're in sales and aren't using WebEx, you could be losing money. Big money. With WebEx, the leader in web meetings, you get the interactivity of face-to-face meetings without the hassle and expense of flying or driving. And because WebEx meetings are so convenient, you'll make more sales presentations, which means bigger commissions for you. Go to WebEx.com for a 14-day free trial to see how powerful a WebEx sales meeting can be. Be where you need to be with WebEx meetings. Get started with a 14-day free trial. That's WebEx.com.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. New York City law enforcement is preparing for another day of protest activity as the Republican National Convention enters its third day. Close to 1,000 demonstrators were taken into custody yesterday for acts of civil disobedience and other forms of defiance. President Bush will be in New York City tonight, but will not attend the convention until tomorrow night. Reports say the president will be visiting nearby Queens County and making a stop at a local firehouse where he's expected to watch tonight's speech by Vice President Dick Cheney. Israeli troops closed off the West Bank city, and Palestinian militants celebrated after Hamas blew up two buses seconds apart in the desert town of Beersheba, killing 16 Israelis and ending a months-long lull in suicide attacks. Twin bombing shattered hopes in Israel that the period of suicide attacks more than 104 years was over. The nightmare is back, read the main headline in a local paper today above the photo of a burning bus. Wayne Gilman, Air America.
The blockbuster event of the year. All the thrills. All the chill. Romance. Comedy. Drama.
John.
Marcia.
John.
Marcia.
John.
Marcia.
It's fun for the whole family. All your favorite E-Entertainment TV shows, all on Sirius E-Entertainment Radio 136.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Missy is getting taken advantage of by her insurance company. I'll help her fight after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Missy's getting the runaround from an insurance company following an accident.
My truck is totaled. I owe $24,000, and it's worth $16,000.
Who said it's worth $16,000?
The
insurance people.
Right.
Wrong. You are going to go find out what that truck is worth. Okay, here's the process. The insurance of the other guy has to pay you every dollar that it takes to replace your truck. So what you're going to do is go to KBB, KellyBlueBook.com, and find out what that truck's worth, because that's what you would pay for it if you went to a dealer to buy it. Then you go to Trader.com. Then you go to CarMax.com. And out of all of that, you're going to find out your little old truck's worth $20,000. And these guys are trying to stick you. Again.
Again.
Yeah.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
at 32 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron with Mark Riley on Air America Radio. This is Morning's Edition. Thomas Frank is sitting in. We've got Larry Korb coming up on the phone. But first, since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 64. Leaders of Iraq. Yes, good morning. Now, I understand some of you guys took some shots at a former counsel, Ahmed Chalabi, this morning. Yes, I know. Now, I'm not going to be a buzzkill and say don't assassinate, but I will say plan it out. Before any worthwhile assassination, ask two questions. Who should you kill, and what will happen if you do? Of course, America has a long, colorful history of murdering our leaders, and not to toot our own horn or anything, but we're pretty good at it. Well, you know, we killed some people we maybe shouldn't have. We should have kept alive. Lincoln, we could have used him. And JFK, yeah, we were getting our money's worth on him as well. But both times afterwards, we were stuck with crappy presidents and the inevitable post-assassination depression. After the drama wears off, all you're left with is bad TV reenactments, endless documentaries, and, of course, Oliver Stone. And you know how much fun he is. You don't got to tell me. Here are two words you've probably never heard an American say to you. Exit strategy. Think of what will happen afterwards, because if you start killing off your leaders, you'll scare off all the good candidates, and before long, you're stuck with Gerald Ford. I know. And from there, it's just a hop, skip, and a jump to the Bush family. Yes. So now it's tempting, but I know it's tempting, but don't kill Chalabi. All right? We have the CIA for that. You understand? And we'll take care of it. Until then, good luck, and God bless. This is Day 64 of Iraq. Birth of a Nation. Live free or die. So before we get Larry Korb on the phone, Tom, let's just talk about the birth of the Christian right in Kansas, because I think that's where it really starts, and that's where the ideological headquarters is.
Yeah, it's an interesting... I wrote it, but I think it's a good story. But what happened there was you had... Kansas has always been a Republican state, but it was a moderate Republican place.
Right.
Even had a lot of liberal Republicans in it. And what happened was, in the early 90s, Operation Rescue. Do you remember these guys? There's these militant anti-abortion protesters used to chain themselves to fences and stuff like that.
Randall Terry? Was he
that guy? Yeah. They descended on Wichita in huge numbers.
Yes.
And we're blocking streets and, you know, this kind of civil disobedience. And it really caught fire. Kansas is a very religious place also. But up until then, it had also been very pro-women's rights.
Right.
So you had these two different elements of the Kansas personality. Anyhow, the conservatives started going to the Operation Rescue rallies and signing up precinct committee women at their rallies, and they would say, you know, and I have something a lot better to do than throwing yourself under the wheels of a car. You know, listen, let's sign up, let's take over the Republican Party in Kansas, and they did it. They were successful. They took it over from the ground up, and this is the interesting thing. These people did it without any money, without any kind of funding. The right wingers in Kansas,
they just pulled the freaks in.
Yeah,
that's exactly what they did.
I mean, some of these guys are really nice people. I've talked to them, and, you know, in a different world, in a different universe, 30, 40 years ago, they would be on our side. There's no question about it. In fact, Wichita is a very blue-collar town. It's a manufacturing city.
Okay,
used to be Democratic.
Maybe I shouldn't say freaks. Extremists. American extremists who are narrow-minded.
Well, on this one issue, what's happened is they've been persuaded that this one issue outweighs everything else in their lives, and there's nobody out there telling them anything different.
And it gives them focus because they're broke. And let's talk about it a little more. Let's talk to Larry Korb for a little while, and then you'll probably hang out. I know you got a deadline.
Yeah. I have to be out of here at 8 because I've got to type.
Oh, come on. 8:15.
Yeah. 8:30.
On the phone, Senior Fellow of the Center for American Progress, Assistant Secretary of Defense during the first Reagan administration. He is a Republican for Kerry in a very strong way. Please welcome Larry Korb to the show. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to talk to you again. So you didn't vote for Bush in 2000 because you were concerned about the neocons Bush had pulled around or rallied around him. When did you realize that these concerns were turning into real policy problems?
Well, I mean, I recognized it right away because no sooner had Bush taken over then he opted out of the Kyoto Protocol, walked out of the Biological Weapons Protocol, which, in fact, you know, the whole thing had been started by Richard Nixon and supported by Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, his message to the rest of the world was, you know, you need us more than we need you, so it's sort of our way or the highway. And this is even before September 11th.
We're talking to, with Thomas Frank here, who wrote the book "What's Wrong with Kansas," talking about the sort of like schism within the Republican Party between moderates and ultra conservatives. What is the difference between the Republican government you made policy with and the Republican government of today?
Well, I mean, the basic difference is this. I mean, from Eisenhower through Bush's father, the policy was multilateral if we can. In other words, work with the rest of the world, unilateral by ourselves only if we must. This administration's attitude is unilateral if we can, multilateral only if we must. You see, I mean, how despite what Schwarzenegger was saying last night about the U.N., we turned to the U.N. in Iraq because we're desperate. We did not want to go in with them. We basically ignored them. And that's the big difference. And, you know, people forget that the Republican Party had this fight back in 1952 between Taft and Eisenhower. And Taft was very much like Bush and the neocons. He didn't even want us to become part of NATO. And Eisenhower told Taft, you know, if you support NATO, I don't run. I mean, Eisenhower really didn't want to get into politics. When Taft wouldn't, Eisenhower got in to, the primaries, beat Taft, and basically the Republican Party through Bush's father, you know, had that approach.
Quick yes or no question, Lawrence Corb. Is unilateralism, the unilateralism that produced the Iraq War, is it dead as a result of the war?
Well, I don't think so, but I do think that preemption, or as they say, preventive war is dead. Because even if you wanted to go to Iran now, I mean, there's no way you're stretched so thin in, with your army stretched so thin in Iraq and Afghanistan. I really think not the unilateralism, because you see them still, they're not joining the International Criminal Court or... They just opted out of the Fissile Material Control Treaty.
All right. Hey, Larry, we hang on for a second. We'll be back after this break with Larry Korb on Air America Radio.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Do you know who really, really rocks on Sirius?
What?
Diane Rame on NPR Now.
Dude.
Oh, I really like her hard news analysis of politics and international affairs.
Dude. I really prefer Fresh Air with Terry Gross for her probing questions, revelatory interviews, and unusual insights.
Surf on over to NPR for Diane Rae, 10 a.m. Eastern weekdays, and Terry Gross, 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 8 p.m. weekends on Sirius NPR Now 106.
We are the email generation. I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. It's safe to say that the majority of us do more corresponding through the computer than through the mail. And our kids have practically grown up on email. In fact, when's the last time they sent a postcard, a letter, or a thank you note? Well, there's something about sending a letter or card the old-fashioned way that makes the person who gets it feel special. So have your kids write a letter to grandma or a thank you note to their teacher or someone else whose day they want to make. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to familyminute.net. That's familyminute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah, well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose.
Big deal. My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite.
Get out.
Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head.
No way.
I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
Hello, this is Mandy Patinkin for Choice Magazine Listening, a free service of the nonprofit Lucerna Fund. If you cannot read because of blindness or other impairment, we'll send you selections from leading magazines on special speed cassettes. So for 8 hours of memorable writing every other month, completely free of charge, Call 516-883-8280 or write listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. That's 516-883-8280.
42 past the hour. We are back at the Republican National Convention. We are in it. We are in the belly of the beast here. We are sitting with Thomas Frank. The book is What's the Matter with Kansas? I've been saying What's Wrong with Kansas, but that's my problem. I read the book. You should read the book. Everyone should read the book. Mark Riley is here. On the phone, we have Larry Korb, who was the Assistant Secretary of Defense during the first Reagan administration. He's a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. He is he is voting for Kerry. Now, let me ask you, Larry, what is this convention as you see it? How are they playing to these voters out on the fringe? And what can you tell those voters to make sure that they aren't sucked in by this load of BS that's being dished to them?
Well, when you focus on foreign policy, I think if you look at Rudy Giuliani's speech the other night, in which he, you know, basically did not differentiate between the war in Afghanistan and the war in Iraq.
And continuing to try and align Iraq with a terrorist presence that wasn't there previous to the unilateral right. descent and, upon Iraq.
In fact, going to war in Iraq actually made us weaker.
Right.
Because it, you know, as somebody put it, it was the best birthday present Osama bin Laden could have had when us going in there.
Did you know Osama's actually giving the keynote address here? He's coming up out of the ground in a cage
right.
with his dialysis machine, and he's going to deliver the keynote speech. It's going to be amazing.
And I tell you, I can't describe to you what they've done to the all-volunteer army, too, with the way that they've
right.
handled the situation in Iraq. I mean,
yeah.
And so this is what really bothers me. You know, people ask me a lot of times about, you know, the difference between Reagan and Bush. You know, we made a big mistake in Lebanon. Within 2 months after the Marines were killed, we had a report. The president took that report, walked out into the White House press room and said, okay, I blew it. Look, I made a big mistake, and I accept responsibility. I'm not going to blame any subordinates or anything like that. Look at what's happened over here in Iraq with Abu Ghraib. You got Rumsfeld and Bush. They can believe that, you know, nobody's responsible except some poor seven reservists from western Pennsylvania.
Mm. Right.
I'm curious, Lawrence Korb, do you see a draft during the course of a second Bush term, everything else being the way it is now?
No, I don't. The problem is basically all you need is about 40,000 more people in the active duty army to do what they want to do. And, you know, they've resisted that. The Congress has been on them, both Republicans and Democrats, saying, you know, increase the size of the army. And they don't want to do that because if they do that, then they'd have to make some hard choices about things like the cherished national missile defense.
Mm-hmm. Let's do some lifting for Kerry here since he's out on the windsurfing thing. Why are you voting for Kerry, and how would his approach to the war on terror be superior to the current policy?
Well, because he would go multilateral if he can, unilateral if he must. He'd work with other nations, and he'd keep his eye on the ball in terms of what needs to be done. I mean, he voted to give the president the authority to go to war in Iraq, but the idea was that then you would work through the United Nations, because after all, that's the case that Bush made, that Saddam was defying the United Nations. And so if you did do this basically, which was a war of choice, not a war of necessity, you would make sure that you did it right, and you would have done it better. I mean, anybody who's ever been involved in what we call occupation or peacekeeping knows that that's a tough job and you need a lot of people.
Right. Do your colleagues feel the same way from your days in when you were working with Reagan? How are they feeling? Do they feel the same way?
Well, I mean, most of what I would call my sensible colleagues are very,
right.
very disillusioned. Now, you know, the people who are in there now, you know, Reagan, they got upset with Reagan when he made treaties with the Soviet Union. They were blaming Nancy. They said, oh, Nancy's getting to him. You know, I mean, it was bizarre. They, you know, their idea was don't even talk to the Soviet Union, no treaties, no arrangements. I mean, it was up to them. We'd still be recognizing Taiwan.
Right. How can Kerry appeal to more Republicans? What can we do to help right now?
Well, I think he has to demonstrate that his foreign policy is very similar to Bush's father, to Richard Nixon's, Henry Kissinger. This is what we call the realist approach to international relations. And
how does he do that? What's one thing he could do to convince people?
Well, I think what he has to really do is come out and hit hard on the way in which we went into Iraq and the way in which we run the Iraq. I'll give you another thing. I mean, Rumsfeld and Wolfowitz and the president ignored General Shinseki, the chief of staff of the Army, man who had lost his foot in Vietnam, a man who had run peacekeeping in Bosnia, when he told him what you'd need to do the, you know, the stabilization in Iraq. I mean, and this is the thing Kerry has to say. And if I were he, I would link it to my own service. I mean, those of us who went to Vietnam know what happens when you're a Westerner, you go into a different culture, no matter how good your intentions are.
Hey, I have, it's Tom Frank here. I have a question. With the, you know, the great mass of voters in this country, do they really care about realism, or do they just care about a guy who's tough?
Well, again, a realist can be very tough. Nobody would accuse Richard Nixon of being, you know, some softy or anything like that. But he was the one that recognized the way to split the communist world was to, you know, make an arrangement with China. I mean, and back then, the hardliners in the Republican Party didn't want to do that. I mean, Barry Goldwater was furious at Nixon for the opening to China.
And I have one more question. The other day I was at a Republican party. You were in Vietnam, you say. Yeah, I was at a Republican party, and somebody gave me a Band-Aid with a Purple Heart drawn on it. You know,
yes.
The idea being that they just hand these things out, you know, and
yeah.
Liberals are somehow able. I wonder, are they just, I mean, in showering contempt upon Purple Heart winners, aren't they going too far?
Well, you would hope so. And again, you know, I mean, Purple Heart doesn't mean, you know, you have to be dead or anything like that, you know. And this medal thing drives me up the wall because one of my last year in the Navy, I was assigned to the staff of the admiral who was put in charge of this mark at time, and he had to sign off on all these medals. And this idea of a Purple Heart that, you know, you can't just go in and say, I've been wounded and somebody will sign it because,
yeah.
You know, you get veterans benefits and all kinds of things for the
right.
rest of your life. So it's not just done, you know, willy-nilly.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. They're making fun of all veterans when they do that. Thank you, Harry Court, for being with us. Always a pleasure.
Okay,
appreciate
nice
it.
To be with you.
You take care. We'll be back on Air America Radio after this.
You work hard, and you put in extra hours at the office, but you're not getting ahead in your career. Well, here's an idea. Maybe the best place to put in extra hours isn't at work. Instead, try earning your college degree via the Internet at University of Phoenix Online. A college degree continues to provide greater opportunity, responsibility, and reward. And by working just 15 to 20 hours a week at University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree in just 2 to 3 years. At University of Phoenix Online, we offer bachelor's and master's degree programs in business, management, accounting, marketing, IT, healthcare, criminal justice, education, nursing, and more. The fact is, it's better to spend a few years working on your college degree than to spend a lifetime working without it. Before you know it, you'll have the expertise and credentials you need to excel in your field. Call University of Phoenix Online today at 1-800-624-1890. That's 1-800-624-1890.
Sirius.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Do you know who really, really rocks on Sirius?
What?
Diane Rehm on NPR Now.
Dude.
Oh, I really like her hard news analysis of politics and international affairs.
Dude.
I really prefer Fresh Air with Terry Gross for her probing questions, revelatory interviews, and unusual insights.
Surf on over to NPR for Diane Rehm, 10 a.m. Eastern weekday, and Terry Gross, 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 8 p.m. weekends on Sirius NPR Now 106.
Here's a safety tip we can all live with. Children should ride in the rear seat whenever possible and should always be buckled up, especially if your car has airbags. Remember, never place a rear-facing child's safety seat in the passenger seat if you have an airbag. Patterns set early become patterns for life. Set them early. It's a safety tip we can all live with. Brought to you by the National Safety Belt Coalition.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. Number 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. Number 6, name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley and Thomas Frank at the Republican National Convention, Madison Square Garden, New York City. You're listening to Air America's Morning Sedition. Every Wednesday, we bring you the latest news from the front lines of the three-year global war being waged by the Bush administration. Here now is war correspondent Mort Milfington with today's dispatch from the War on Brains.
Thank you, Steve. Dateline, MSG. No, not monosodium glutamate, but Madison Square Garden, New York. The greatest city on earth, if you like a place where people dress poodles up in skirts and call them baby. September 1st. The dumb ship Bushy Pop fired its opening salvo of dim-witted dumbassosity across the bow of common sense this week by reaffirming the president's relentless desire to end funding for stem cell research. This as outlined within the final Republican platform. A platform recently hailed by such open-minded individuals as, you guessed it, Pope John Paul II, who, sitting alone in his never-finished, already-decaying pleasure palace, continues to direct his failing empire, vainly trying to disarm the endless fusillade of Pollock jokes. And Laura Bush, whose position against stem cell research depends solely upon the concept that curing the afflicted might make it harder for her husband to execute the retarded. Yes, over 2,000 years of superstition, 40,000 tons of censored literature, and countless examples of erotic animal bloodlust are the ingredients of today's fundamentalist Christian dogma. Cost to human progress? No man can say. Shameful. And now, like a blind mole, the final draft of the legendary Bush Doctrine scuttles out from deep within the murky bowels of the Republican National Committee. His Xanadu. And tomorrow, this direct descendant of a man who once raised money for the Nazis will accept the nomination for President of the United States for a second time. And we ponder the important question, whether to vote for him or a man like Senator John F. Kerry, there's really only one logical choice to be made. Move to Holland. They got grape chocolate, herbal jazz cigarettes, and lots of clean whores. So until next time, freedom fighters, read, write, and move out. And that's today's dispatch from
the War on Brains.
Thank you, Mort. Always a pleasure. Thomas Frank, the book is What's the Matter with Kansas? What can the Democrats do to reach back down into the soul of the working people and pull them back?
That's exactly what they have to do, because that is formerly the core constituency of the Democratic Party. That's who it was. It was the party of working people. The way that you beat this culture war crap, the way that you make sure that you send the Republicans back into minority land for the next 30 years is you start talking about social class again. The Democrats have to be they do have a problem in the Democratic Party with nominating these people who just can't turn it on. Don't talk that language. They have to get back to that. You got a guy like John Edwards talking about the two nations. There's something very true about that, and something about that that frightens Republicans.
You could tell from the speeches.
Absolutely. If you start talking about what Republican policies have actually done economically to the life chances of working class people, they're going to forget about school prayer, and they're going to forget about the war on evolution, and they're going to lose interest in the war on brains.
Beautiful. So, but it can be done, right? There's
absolutely
hope.
Absolutely.
And John Kerry is not necessarily going to speak to this, but Edwards will.
I think so. I sure hope so.
Yeah, it'd be good if he could. Why do you think he has resistance in your speculation?
Resistance from whom?
To speaking to that.
Oh, they're trying hard, but right now Kerry is expecting the just to win the election without having to do very much, because Iraq is such a fiasco.
Right.
The economy is things are looking bleak in the economy.
Right.
I think he's expecting to win without having to fight.
And that's
a
misconception.
That's a terrible error.
You hear that, John?
Oh,
Senator?
If he doesn't fight, he loses. Yeah,
you hear that,
no
Senator?
Doubt.
Just come on, come back in. Come back from Nantucket. Let's get to work here. Yeah. Please, if you haven't read Thomas Frank's book, What's the Matter with Kansas? How Conservatives Won the Heart of America. Incredibly informative. Great criticism. There's some very funny bits in there. It's a brilliant book. Changed my life. Thank you for being with us, Thomas Frank. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. And we got a lot more coming up, Riley. We got some good stuff next hour. We're going to go into the platform a little bit.
Yeah. So, and by the way, the platform just like falls apart in your hands. I don't know what.
Literally falls apart in your hands. The book itself. Unbelievable.
In the next hour, Recovery Corner, John Nichols from The Nation previews Dick Cheney's speech tonight. And, of course, the president's Palm Pilot, direct from Hamon.
Yeah.
When we come back here on Air America Radio.
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
Oh, it's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Old way.
We are hearing a great deal about frequency modulation. The new high fidelity.
New way.
Superior sound resolution with S-Plex technology. Sirius, it's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. In the past 30 minutes, some 15 students held hostage in a school building in a Russian region near the border of Chechnya were released by their captors. Kidnappers were said to be holding as many as 200 school children. Seizure began shortly after ceremonies marking the start of the new school year in Russia. Attackers are believed to be elements of an Al-Qaeda-linked group responsible for last week's twin air bombings outside Moscow and the suicide bombing of a subway station yesterday. The attacks have all been linked to the separatist conflict in Chechnya. Pakistani authorities say they're holding a man they believe is a senior Al-Qaeda operative. Sources say they arrested him and another terror suspect in raids 2 to 3 days ago in southwestern province. A country's new information minister who is being sworn in today confirms a member of the Al-Qaeda has been arrested but won't say how senior he is. Two arrests by Pakistani authorities in July led to the White House to issue a new terror warning. They also prompted counter-terror operations in Great Britain and the United Arab Emirates. Pakistan has arrested more than 550 Al-Qaeda suspects and has turned most of them over to U.S. authorities. President Bush will be in New York City this evening, but not at the site of the Republican National Convention when Vice President Dick Cheney hits the stage to praise the commander-in-chief. Bush is expected to be watching the speech from a fire station in nearby Queens, New York. Police are preparing for the utmost in security as demonstrations are expected near the site of the president's campaign appearance. Close to 1,000 protesters were arrested late yesterday. There was a litmus test of sorts for Florida voters yesterday. The state conducted a primary. Touchscreen machines were brought in to replace the infamous punch card ballots, which were at the center of the controversy in the 2000 presidential vote in Florida. As of late yesterday, there were no significant complaints reported by the Office of the State Secretary, Gloria Hood. This included some of the most populous counties and those recently hit by Hurricane Charley. Critics have complained that the ATM-style voting machines were vulnerable to tampering and glitches. The machines are expected to be used again in November. Election rights groups place poll monitors and on-call attorneys at scattered precincts to take the statements from people who did have problems. Voting machines were also used in Miami's predominantly black Liberty City, where most voters found the new system easy to use. Justice Department is asking a judge to throw out the convictions of a suspected terrorist cell in Detroit because of prosecutorial misconduct. It's a dramatic setback for the Bush administration's war on terror on the eve of President Bush's reelection pitch at the GOP convention in New York. In a late Tuesday night court filing, the department told U.S. District Court Judge General Rosen It supports the Detroit defendants' request for a new trial and would no longer pursue terrorism charges against them. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne.
Welcome to Jen and Barry's Ice Cream. What flavor would you like, sir?
Hey there. I'll take a little of all 120 flavors, please.
That's, a lot to try, sir.
I got the car, I got the kids, and a hell of a long drive ahead.
Yeah,
who knows?
But...
I like chocolate, so maybe I'll like Super Mocha Fudge. Wrap it to go, kid. Time's a-wasting.
There's a lot to sample on Sirius. So this Labor Day weekend, surf around. You might just surprise yourself with something you never thought you'd like. Sirius. Find your favorites.
I hope it nuts.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Amber wants to help her younger sister really bad. My tough love advice after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Amber wants to help her sister so bad that it may hurt more than help.
My sister and her husband have been married less than 2 months. She's already pregnant.
Great!
But they're not financially established. I'm worried on my mind. I even offered. I said, hey, if I get a job, I'll put my salary towards you guys.
Your salary towards them?
I love them that much.
That's not helping them. You're giving a drunk a drink.
Oh.
Why would you want to enable all this misbehavior?
Okay, but here's...
Have you never figured out that if you give hungry people a fish and you never teach them to fish, that all they want tomorrow is another free fish?
Yes, I understand that.
You know, I think two things. One is you can only help somebody that wants to be helped. And two is you cannot fix the problem by throwing money at it, because it's not a money problem. It's a behavior problem called growing up, being responsible, holding down a job, doing a budget, saving money. One of life's painful journeys is that we watch sometimes those that we love do stupid things that we know are going to harm them.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Hello?
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving.
Hmm.
And I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
It's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Blah, 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 blah.
Why don't they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people. And neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
What a dummy. Good morning, philosopher kings, geniuses, philosopher queens, and, of course, all you liberal bullies. Man, liberal bullies can be bad news. I know I'm one of them, Mark Riley.
You're starting to sound like Mark the Shark, you know. How you doing, Baron?
No, he calls them liberal whiners. But you know what? It's clear after last night and certainly listening to a... conservative talk radio that they are the whiny biatches of the radio world. Boy, complain, complain, complain. Talk about pessimism.
Well,
that's what I hear.
Wasn't it the president that dropped in on a certain talk radio colleague?
I don't even know what that was about. It was about listeners. I'll tell you one thing, though. To watch George Bush try and correct himself after, you know what? Hey, Chris, can we hear that new ad first?
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
John Kerry likes to call it the War on Terror.
That's because he lacks the moral clarity of George Bush, who knows what this is really about.
We've actually misnamed the war on terror. It ought to be the struggle against ideological extremists who do not believe in free societies, who happen to use terror as a weapon to try to shake the conscience of the free world.
John Kerry says he can even win this so-called war on terror. That's because he lacks the strong and steady leadership of George W. Bush, who's got a better plan than just winning.
I don't think you can win it, but I think you can create conditions so that those who use terror as a tool are less acceptable in parts of the world, let's put it that way.
George W. Bush, unlike John Kerry, he's fighting the struggle against ideological extremists who do not believe in free societies, who happen to use terror as a weapon to try to shake the conscience of the free world by creating conditions so that those who use terror as a tool are less acceptable in parts of the world.
Hey, there you go. You know, it's...
We better cut this out.
No, you know what I mean? It's like, that's like almost spurned me to...
If you have any question about what John Kerry's made up, just spend 3 minutes with the men who served with him.
John Kerry?
He bad.
John Kerry bad.
I don't like him.
John Kerry bad.
John Kerry loses.
Me don't like John Kerry.
He not good.
John Kerry my poop fire truck.
John Kerry not good.
Kerry no good.
Bad.
I don't like John Kerry.
John Kerry took my shoe.
Swift Book Veterans for Truth is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
But I'll tell you, Riley, I'm watching CNN, and to watch the way Bush corrected himself at the American Legion speech last night, the look in his eye, you know, I couldn't believe it. He was looking at Americans. He was looking at me from his TV set, almost reprimanding me. Like, you know what I mean? We're going to win it. You know, like he was saying that I blame you for my screw-up. I felt this arrogance, this condescension, this sort of like, you know, the nerve you people have for me, you know, to criticize me for telling the truth. The truth of the matter is they've been establishing this war on terrorism as something that has been unwinnable from the beginning. It's going to take a while, right from the beginning, right when he went into Iraq, right when they went into Afghanistan. We don't know how long it's going to go for. Certainly 2 terms is basically what he was saying. They want it to go on. They want it to replace the Cold War.
They want it to be expandable. They want to export it to Iran if they have to Syria if they feel like it. They want to expand the concept of unilateralism. They want to expand the concept of making more free people around the world. Have you ever been to an American Legion gathering before, Mark?
No, Mark Riley. Have not been to an American Legion gathering.
I have.
Why would I
know you never have. I've been in dozens of American Legion posts in my life. I've been to the American Legion National Convention 3 times.
Yes.
He was, of course, speaking to the converted. This is as good as a hand-picked audience feeding him softball questions at a town hall meeting. The American
that's all they do now.
Loves George W. Bush. They love the idea that George W. Bush, with the exception of Abu Ghraib, is never going to question anything they do. As far as the military, as far as excesses are concerned, this is a president. And you look at the platform.
Yeah.
Now, everybody's been saying, well, you know, the platform is not that real. It's not really that big of a deal. They're not really going to follow all the things they have in here. If you look in today's New York Times, those of you who have a chance to get it, and you read about this rally that the Bush-Cheney campaign sponsored yesterday at the Waldorf Astoria, not at Howard Johnson's, not at the Holiday Inn, at the Waldorf Astoria.
Not at the New Yorker, the Mooney-owned New Yorker hotel.
No. And you know, they had an A-list group of speakers, including Sam Brownback, Ralph Reed, all of these conservative evangelical Christians, and what was their message? Their message is, pay no attention to what you see on the podium. We're going to win this thing because we have a different agenda, even from Arnold, even from Rudy, even from Mike Bloomberg, even from all these people who have spoken up until now. Pay no attention to them. Our agenda is clear. Our agenda is going to be pursued.
Well, what they're doing is like they're all this infighting within the party, ideological infighting. They're trying to say is this is diversity. This hypocrisy is diversity. This schism within our own platform, that's diversity. We have room for everybody. You know, since President Bush is trying to attract as many different groups as possible this week, they're trotting out, like, as you said, a bunch of different speakers. Last night it was Laura and Arnold. Tonight it's Rick Santorum, Senator Rick Santorum and Dick Cheney. Now let's see, you know, which group which groups he's trying to target with them. Rick Santorum, for instance, the group...
Arch conservative.
He's trying to target the intolerant Caucasian against show tunes groups. He's trying to target citizens who enjoy having their phones tapped. Of course, the Young Republicans Anti-Sodomy Association. The Amish Gay Bashing Society, of course. Pennsylvanians against Charles Darwin.
Didn't the Amish construct a podium?
Sure, that probably. The Coalition for Divisive Rhetoric, of course, and People for the Ethical Treatment of Strip Mall Developers. That's Rick Santorum. That's how they're using him. Now, Dick Cheney is a different story. Dick Cheney, the groups he's trying to target are the United Federation of Creepy Uncles, the Begrudging Fathers of Gay Daughters, the Throat Clearers of America. Yeah, exactly. The Yellowstone Clogged Artery Society. People for whom smiling is painful, of course. Abused children of fathers who wore aviator glasses, a very large Republican target group. Then, of course, there's the fans of Scrooge before he discovers the true meaning of Christmas. He's trying to target Halliburton employees who have to vote for Bush in order to remain Halliburton employees. The Confederation of Droners, of course. The Wyoming Men's Comb-Over League. I'm sure we...
Rudy Giuliani president?
Yeah, we've seen a few of them around. And also, of course, we have the influential off club, which is a
Patrick Leahy recipient.
Yeah, and much more. So as you brought up the platform, which when Brendan went to research it, actually literally started to fall apart in his hands at what page?
Alternative means of energy.
Uh-huh. Like it was almost like a joke, a novelty platform that just comes apart at alternative means of energy.
Sue the printer, Republicans. You need work. The RNC really, they didn't get their money's worth out.
It wasn't designed to hold up. It was only designed to look good for a couple of days.
A safer world and a more hopeful America. We got a lot to hope for, that's for sure.
Well,
more
we can, you know, we could talk, yeah, right. We can talk about that, you know, the way they're going to, you know, they say they're going to win the war on terror, the way they're going to usher in the ownership era.
I don't know. You know what that is.
What
that's
they're
privatizing
saying,
Social Security.
No, I think they're saying slavery is coming back. That's what they're ushering the ownership here.
Oh, by the way, before we go to break, I, as an African-American,
yes, sir,
I am tired. And I heard this a couple times out of black folks since this convention. I am tired of the Republicans trading on Lincoln freeing the slaves. Okay? It was a long time ago. Thanks loads. We really appreciated it. But it was done in 1863, for God's sake.
I guess that was the last time Republicans did anything good for African Americans.
And by the way, you know, Abraham Lincoln did not even believe in social equality between the races. Well, he freed the slaves because he needed soldiers for the Union Army.
This is right from the platform. Quote, as the party of Lincoln, we stand for freedom. We stand for the freedom and dignity of human life in every stage of life. What's that got to do with Lincoln? We know that freedom is not America's gift to the world. Freedom is the Almighty's gift to every man, woman, and child in the world. And we stand for a hopeful tomorrow that will come from total and complete victory in the war on terror. And that's quoted from Lincoln.
Would Lincoln have been in favor of stem cell research?
Yeah.
I think so.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the platform a little more when we come back. If you want to get Thomas Frank's book, you can go to our website, morningsedition.com. If you want a blog, you can go to our website. And also, we're going to play again, you know, Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman of New Jersey, actually performed a security breach last night that we have on tape. So stay tuned here on Air America Radio.
The presidential election is just around the corner. The right has their propaganda. Make sure you have yours. Northern Sun can help. For over 25 years, we've been supplying the American left with t-shirts, bumper stickers, buttons, and a whole lot more. Do you think we need a president selected fairly? Tell your fellow Americans with a bumper sticker. Redefeat Bush in 2004. Do you think we need a smarter president? Say it with a t-shirt. Somewhere in Texas, there's a village missing an idiot. Do you think we need an honest president? Tell him with a bike sticker. Bush lied, thousands died. With hundreds of bumper stickers, buttons, and American-made t-shirts, Northern Sun can help you wear your thoughts on your sleeve, car, or bicycle. Visit northernsun.com or call 800-258-8579 for a catalog. And if your group has a unique message, we can custom print it on shirts, buttons, or bumper stickers. Remember, regime change begins at home, so let's vote Bush out. Call 800-258-8579 or visit northernsun.com. Thank you, and God bless the whole world. No exceptions.
George Conde Rodney and Dick, they're all in town to party. Convention chairs and delegates, Dick, you've called a vandal party.
Okay, can we make sure all the balloons drop this time?
Yes, sir, folks, it's the Republicans in the Big Apple, New York City.
City for their convention. RNC coverage from the left side on Sirius Left 143, Air America 144, and Sirius LQ 149.
Sirius at the RNC, who's the largest party?
This is your Icicle Insight on the Environment.
Russell Train, my guest, the book Politics, Pollution, and Pandas. 1970, you were the first chair of the Presidential Council on Environmental Quality. 1973, you headed the EPA. How has our perspective shifted regarding the environment?
Well, I think at the beginning, nobody knew what the environment was. When I told my parents that I was resigning as a tax court judge to become a full-time environmentalist, they thought two things. One, that I was crazy, and secondly, they didn't know what I meant. Now, that has all changed. We had a huge upsurge of public attention to the environment during my main career period, and now we see, I think, you know, that public excitement has died down. Most polls show that the American public really cares about the environment. However, the priority today is not what it was back in the 70s.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Hey, y'all, I'm Kicksburg.
I'm Ronnie Dunn.
And we're Brooks.
And Dunn for RAD. And I've got a four-letter word for you. Don't. As in don't drive drunk.
Yep, and I got a three-letter word for you, as in get. Get the keys.
When you see someone who's about to drive under the influence,
get the keys.
Because friends don't let friends drive drunk. My
heart is lost. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
That's it. We're at the Republican National Convention. It's 19 past the hour. I am Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hi.
We are on Air America Radio. This is Morning's Edition. Got real Rick Perlstein hanging around here. We talked to him last week. He wrote that piece in The Voice about the 1968 riots. We got right now. Are you going to sit down, Rick?
Yeah, Rick is sitting down. You
go ahead,
Rick
sit down.
And
sit
our next guest, John Nichols, know each other.
They do. You know, and Rick Perlstein, we talked to last week. It turns out that It hasn't been. What do you think? You know, you were speculating that if it got ugly, that the riots would be a rallying point for Bush. But I think it's been okay. What do you think,
Mark? I haven't had my coffee yet.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you take your time. Let me do the president. I'll do the president's schedule. This is a Palm Pilot. Ramon dropped it off earlier. Here's the president's schedule for today: 8:00 a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. We can win the war on terror. Deny ever making yesterday's message. Can, we can. 9:30 a.m., call Arnold, congratulate him on last night's speech. Note, insert touching story into my acceptance speech about when I was a penniless immigrant. 10 a.m., call Laura, congratulate her on last night's speech. Note, have CIA gather dirt on her. She's getting much too popular. 1 p.m., fly to Ohio. Tell voters that if it weren't for Pennsylvania or Florida, they'd be America's most important state. 3:30 p.m., speak at rally, Columbus, Ohio. Note, praise them for their stubborn refusal to choose either candidate. Then yell, go Buckeyes! 8:05 p.m., visit with firefighters. Italian Charities of America, Elmhurst, New York. Tell them, John Kerry is soft on fire. First he's for it, then he's against it. 9:30 p.m., return to Washington, pose for White House photographs of me editing acceptance speech. Note, don't let him make me look like some kind of girly man word pansy. 11 p.m. bedtime, think happy thoughts. Headline, quote, Bush accepts nomination as Osama is nabbed while windsurfing with Kerry, end quote. There you go. So you're going to get your coffee, Rick. We're going to talk to, we're going to hear from Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman of New Jersey,
yeah.
who went undercover, who got some real news, man.
Yeah, security breach.
Yeah, let's hear it. Let's hear it, Kalo.
This is Dan Pashman for Air America. I am underneath Madison Square Garden, underneath the stage here with our friend the stagehand. We just passed the dressing rooms. So the ice is beneath us right now?
No, this is the floor of the arena. This is where we build the ice. Where the Knicks play, where we have concerts.
Right.
This is the performance stage. And this is the lift. And each one of those poles is rated for like 12,000 pounds.
Wow. So we could get some fat singers up there.
Yeah.
All right. All right. We are underneath the stage here. So, hypothetically, if somebody wanted to cut out George W. Bush's teleprompter right as he begins his speech, is this where you'd want to be to do that?
I'm not even sure where that would be. This is mostly audio.
So to cut out his mic, this is where I'd want to be?
Yeah, you could do that.
I could cut out his mic from down here?
Room over there.
Bulletproof room back there. That thing there says, do not touch. What's that?
What's that? That's for this lift here, for the poster. And the podium. The podiums come out of the deck also.
So we're directly beneath the podium?
Yeah, that's the podium right here. That's
that is the podium. The main podium is right there. We are directly underneath it at this time. Now, do not touch, so we shouldn't touch that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just the controls for it.
Now, what if we wanted to type in silly words into the president's teleprompter speech? Where would we go to do that?
There's a booth right on the stage where that is, where the teleprompter operates. It's weird, though. You see the way we came? If we came from the other way, they wouldn't let us in here. So I thought I'd be about that.
Right. And now you said all these signs back here, all those signs that look like they're hand-painted, actually have been trucked in and printed?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of 4 more year signs. I think if you add up all these years, this is like 1 billion years.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
Oofa.
Yeah.
You know there's no media in this part of the floor? Did you guys know that?
I did not.
Mm-mm. No media on the fifth floor. Like in this, in the OP.
Okay.
No go.
Okay, we'll head out then. All right, I just got kicked out of the Republican National Convention. Ow! I'll let you throw it back to the guys.
All right, this is Local One Stagehand, 9-year stagehand in Madison Square Garden. Back to you, Mark and Mark.
Thanks, man. Pashman, you're so funny. You're so polite when they kick you out. You're like, oh, okay, sir. And then you're like, ow!
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So let's tip it then. Let's do it. Let's kill their buzz. Let's do a little buzz kill. What else did the guy tell you, Dan?
Yeah, I was talking to this stagehand, and I got the inside scoop. They're trying to keep it a secret. They wanted to be a big, splashy entrance for President Bush tomorrow night. And I can tell you right now, he already gave me the scoop. They're going to be building a stage overnight after Dick Cheney's speech tonight. A special news stage is going to go out into the audience. There's going to be like a plank of sorts. There's going to be a stage, and there's going to be an elevating platform with hydraulic pumps. And that speculation is he's going to come out of the stage. President Bush will come out of the stage, smoke, and no lasers. I asked the guy, there's going to be lasers, no lasers. But it's going to be. They were hoping for a very dramatic entrance, but since we here on Morning Sedition have already.
Busted them
24 hours or 36 hours in advance, then the fact is it's not going to be all that dramatic after all.
And let's not overlook the fact that it's 3 days after the convention started, which, not unlike Christ, you know, 3 days after he died. You can't underestimate the planning of this stuff. You saw the pulpit / podium. Yeah, you got it, Rick. So Rick Perlstein here from The Voice. You went to... the conservative comedy night last night?
I did.
Do you remember the guy's names? Who was
on?
No.
I can, you know, go back and check my tape.
That's all right.
Later.
But how was it? Some funny stuff?
They're good, but they didn't get the memo.
Yeah, which memo was that?
The compassionate conservatism memo.
Oh, really? Were they busting us?
They weren't busting us. They were only busting immigrants, gays, and, you know, kids who wear their pants down around their ankles.
Oh, so they must have read the platform.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You don't listen to the moderates, but listen to the Republican Party platform. This is like under the section. This is the real meat and potatoes of this thing, is that, you know, protecting our families. Under that, this is the one where they're really throwing the bone to their voting base. They have the abstinence education. All right. We support doubling abstinence education funding. We oppose school-based clinics that provide referrals, counseling, and related services for contraception and abortion. But not only that, they seem to, you know, they actually oppose a lot of schools, period. I mean, in the Bush education plan, the failures over the last 4 years, 3 years, no plan to provide universal preschool for America's children. There's been no real plan to reduce class sizes, no plans to help local communities modernize their crumbling schools, no plans to guarantee increased teacher salaries, raise standards for qualified teachers, or require qualified teachers.
Now, how far away is this from we want the state of South Carolina to ourselves so that we can create our own school system to get away from the godless public schools in the rest of the country?
You know about those guys.
Secessionists, right?
Yeah,
secessionists, absolutely.
But Bush sought a net $90 million spending cut in areas connected to No Child Left Behind, underfunding his own plan. The next year, the administration proposes a net cut of $1.2 billion.
Is that the platform?
This is an extrapolation.
It's the truth about the platform.
See, it says No Child Left Behind. Our mission is to take the reforms that we know are working in elementary schools and apply them up and down the education ladder, which is a flat-out lie, you know, in relation to the policy.
Does the platform mention that they liberated Afghanistan? Every speaker last last night.
Yes.
Everyone lied through their teeth and said Afghanistan is liberated, when everyone who knows the facts knows that only Kabul has been liberated. The rest of the country is run by the Taliban.
By warlords. And the opium fields are up and going again. So
I have a real problem. I have all these conservative friends because I study conservatives for a living.
Yes.
And I've always given them the benefit of the doubt.
Yes.
I've always, you know, tried to bend over backwards to be fair to them. After last night, I spent all night on emailing these guys.
Yeah.
Like, why do you accept being lied to
cheerfully?
We'll find out when I get back to
my... They say, you're not my friend anymore. Rick Perlstein, thanks for stopping by. It's always good to see you. Good to talk to you.
Yeah.
Riley, what do we got coming up when we come back?
I got a quick question, though, before we go to break. If this is such a secure place, if everything is all about security, 41,000 cops, how did Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman, manage to get underneath the podium at Madison Square Garden while the convention was in session?
That Pashman charm, man. Don't underestimate that Pashman charm.
When we come back, John Nichols on Dick Cheney, Recovery Corner, The Liberal Agenda, and so much more for you live at Madison Square Garden on Air America Radio.
This year, I'm hearing two kinds of political humor. Type 1 is the standard fare of Leno, Letterman, and that crew. Easy, cheap shots that are rooted in media stereotypes. You know, George Bush is a moron, John Kerry is a flip-flopper, that type of joke. These are to humor what Chicken McNuggets are to cuisine. They make us laugh, McNuggets will fill you up, but they also reinforce all that's stupid, shallow, and incurious about our political culture. Empty humor calories. The other kind of humor makes us laugh while cutting towards some deeper truth. Okay, so George Bush is thick as a brick. How did he get away with all this stuff? While Daily Show host Jon Stewart interviewed news guy Wolf Blitzer recently, Stewart, in his funny, unique way, asked Blitzer how the mainstream news corps had been so unskeptical of the Bush pretext for the war with Iraq. And there, in the midst of a comedy show, Blitzer cops to groupthink on the part of the media. You could surf the news channels for weeks and never find that insight into today's politics, but it was there on a comedy show. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. 15 school students held hostage inside a schoolhouse in a Russian border town near Chechnya have been released by their captors. Al-Qaeda-linked elements are said to be responsible for the seizure of a school building now holding as many as 150 students. The abductors are said to be strapped with suicide bomb belts and other weapons. Talks to end the fighting inside the city Baghdad between U.S. forces and those elements loyal to Muslim cleric Muqtada al-Sadr have reportedly hit an impasse. President Bush is not yet ready to attend the garden party tonight in New York, so he's making himself available for a campaign stop in nearby Queens in the shadows of Shea Stadium. He'll be meeting with firefighters at a social club and possibly make a visit to a local firehouse. A Chinese restaurant owner three doors down from where Bush will be appearing is quite upset. He says Bush's visit to Queens is bad for his business. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
The Connection from NPR. Where do you go for your daily shot of intellectual caffeine? Think of The Connection as a supersized venti with a whole lot of frothy ideas, angles, and attitude. It will get you going, thinking, dreaming, and make it very hard to slow down. I'm Dick Gordon. Join us on The Connection from NPR.
The Connection, weekdays, live at 10 a.m. Eastern on NPR Talk 107.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Joe has pulled his credit scores and has some questions about them. I'll answer them after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Joe has pulled his credit reports from all three agencies and has questions about the scores.
I got three scores here, actually. One from Equifax, one from TransUnion, one from Experian. One says 793, the other says 775, the other says 800. So which one of those three scores do they put more emphasis on?
They won't pull all three. They'll just pull one, depending on what you're doing. For instance,
let's say that you were going to get a mortgage, and you were going to get that with Countrywide Lending. Okay. Countrywide's out west, and so they're going to be very likely to pull an Experian bureau, because that's a lot of companies out west use Experian. Now, in the southeast, Equifax has more of the market share. They could pull either any of them, mm-hmm. but that's just generally how I've seen it done. I wouldn't sweat them. Those are all fine scores, and I'm not worried about credit scores because I'm not teaching people to borrow money. You know that if you've been listening more than about 10 minutes.
Right. This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Issues. We're fighting for our lives here.
32 past the hour with the Republican National Convention. That's Mark Riley with
Yo.
Me. We got a guest here I'll introduce in a second. My name's Mark, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark.
And in Recovery Corner, I reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober. As always, I'm offering my counsel to my temporary sponsee, George W. Well, tomorrow's your big night, George W., accepting the nomination of your party. Balloons, buttons, fat white people, the occasional black or Latino or Asian, just to spice things up. It could be the biggest night of your life. You know what you should do? Fifth step. You heard me, buddy. You should get up there on that podium with the entire world watching and read your inventory. Let it out, man. The whole ugly saga. The sad, sad saga. The coke, the booze, the lying, the preemptive war, the bankruptcies, the sleazy oil deals, the weird 3 a.m. visits from members of the Saudi royal family. It might take a while, but we'll make time. We made time for the Watergate hearings. Hell, we'll preempt Kilbourne if we have to. Get it all out. Clean the palate, buddy. You'll find a new freedom and a new happiness. Let America be your new sponsor. Start over. That's what I'm saying. As you once said in a completely different context, you're either with us or against us. So bring it on, George W. Remember, keep the plug in the jug. There's no chemical solution to a spiritual problem. Bend your knees before you bend your elbow. Sorrow is looking back. Worry is looking forward. Don't drink. Get to a meeting. That's all I got to say. Tonight, big night. Big night tonight. Aside from Brooks and Dunn playing.
And Third Way.
And Third Day.
Third Day,
and
sorry.
And a tribute to Ronald Reagan, which I think is a four-hour documentary. We've got the Night of Evil, the Night of the Evil Demons, the Cheneys are speaking. And to talk to us about that right now is the reporter for The Nation, he's the author of the upcoming book, Dick, the Man Who Was President. He's covering the convention for The Nation. He is John Nichols. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure to be with you. And I just want to say, apropos of that segment there, that Dick Cheney had two drunk driving busts and he didn't sober up.
No,
wow, that's right.
He's cool, man. He's strong.
He must be strong. I mean,
he can drink and govern.
He's got a mechanical heart, doesn't he?
Several of them.
He's got like,
just pops them in.
Just pops them right out. Quick, this one's out of juice.
Yeah, this is not a joke, man. You know, during the transition period after Florida, he had this, you know, they said, oh, Cheney had a little heart problem, right? So he goes in the hospital. You think, well, we're not going to see him. He's out the next morning.
Well,
what's up with that?
Some people believe that if they had been honest about his medical record when during the election, they would never have let it. Wasn't it the Americans' right to know the true condition of the vice presidential candidate?
Well, some people believe that if you'd known his medical condition, you'd realize he wasn't human.
Yeah, well, that, you know? I think everyone knows that now.
Yeah, so, no, look, I actually don't care about his medical condition that much, and I'll tell you why. This guy has used heart attacks in every major campaign he's run since 1978.
He also used getting his wife pregnant to defer
to get out of the. No, that's my favorite.
To get out of the military.
He's a master of trauma and scheduling.
Of politics,
you know, interaction of the two. And as a recovering alcoholic, I think you could understand that. You
sure,
know?
I can. Yeah. Self-sabotaging.
Well, I'm sick today.
Yeah. Where's my gun? I'd like to blow my own foot off. What can we expect from Cheney tonight? What are you looking? What's the speculation?
Oh, the usual list. And he had lies and, you know.
But what I'm really asking, as I've said before, can we expect a lizard to crawl out of his nose into his ear and for his eyes to roll back in his head?
It's going
to
be more that alien thing, you know, right out of the stomach.
And, oh, really?
Flying
so,
around
like,
the
a little Cheney? Like,
Cheney.
Yeah.
No, the fact is that what you're going to see tonight is a very interesting thing. That there's still a little bit of sexism in America.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know you guys realize that there's no racism, so that's cool.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, we're a color-free or, what is it, color-blind society.
Hold on, let me get the broad to get me some coffee. Where's that skirt he's supposed to get me some coffee?
Well, you're going to see some sexism.
Tell her she's fired. She's fired. And get a new broad to come in.
You are out of here. And I'll tell you why you're going to see sexism, and that's because you're first off going to see Lynn Cheney, who's actually smart,
yeah,
do an introduction. And Lynn got the degrees, went through, whizzed through college and stuff. Then you're going to see Dick,
yeah,
right? Dick got kicked out of Yale 3 times, didn't finish his graduate work,
yeah,
and is notoriously, you know, as his professors told me when I interviewed him for the book, you know, there's not, they point to each year and they say, there's not a lot going on between those two.
Are you serious?
Uh-oh. No. The rep on Dick is that he is not nearly as bright as his public persona.
So you mean it's all Rove?
It really, I'm afraid the guy
maybe
really is running everything.
Hard, maybe.
Well, no, this is the deal. Dick Cheney is very long on ambition. I mean, that guy can look at a room and figure out how he gets ahead in that room.
The ends justify the means.
Well,
guy.
Once he gets power, though,
yeah,
he's ridiculously awful at using it.
Is that true?
Yeah, famously bad. That he was Gerald Ford's chief of staff,
yeah,
right? And people who know politics, so in 1976, Gerald Ford, things went a little bad. He got beat.
Yep.
Right. He had a running mate, he had Vice President Nelson Rockefeller. Mm-hmm. Cheney convinced him to dump Rockefeller because they needed to win the South.
Yep.
Well, their opponent was Jimmy Carter. They lost the entire South, but they also lost New York, and as a result, they lost the presidency. Again and again through his career,
wow,
he's made very dumb political moves.
Bad judgment.
Very interesting. So let's continue to talk about that in a minute with John Nichols when we come back here on Air America. Are we keep going? Oh, yeah, it's not clear to me whether I usually hear music. I didn't know what.
All right, we're here live in Egypt where Bam Margera of Jackass fame is attempting to be the first man to skate down the Great Pyramid.
Hey!
And he's off. He's looking pretty good. No. Wait. He's a little unsteady. It looks like he's taking a bit of a tumble out.
Bam Margera now has his own exclusive radio show on Sirius. Enjoy Tony Hawk, Kelly Slater, and Kerry Walsh, the top extreme sports stars. All of the exclusive show only on Sirius. Action 28.
Coming this fall.
Look at my knee.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
Ambassador Joseph Wilson, you got a front row seat into what it's like to be a subject of media coverage. How did you rate the media coverage of your op-ed piece and the aftermath? What did they get right? What did they get wrong?
Well, you know, I've been watching the media coverage really in the run-up to the debate on going to war. My own sense in the run-up to the war was that all of us let the side down. I think that we had an obligation, our Congress, our investigative journalists, those of us who attempted to speak out, really had an obligation to discuss fully this decision on whether or not we were going to send 130,000 people to invade, conquer, and now occupy Iraq before we got these guys there. And I regret very much that there were so few of us who were willing to stand up and be counted in that particular debate.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Project Impact is a FEMA initiative that brings communities together to take actions that prepare for and protect against natural disasters before they happen. The concept of Project Impact is simple. We can accomplish more by working together than we can by working alone. For more information about how you can use Project Impact to build a disaster-resistant community, visit www.fema.gov.
Growing up on a farm out here, I just thought life was great. I had my own horse. I drove a tractor with my dad. For me, I thought farm life was the American dream. Hi, my name is Rex Phipps. That all changed when I was reminded how dangerous working on a farm can be. My cousin was almost killed in a terrible accident. I had to do something. I couldn't help my cousin, but I could help other people avoid this on their farms. So I volunteered at farm safety day camps for children of all ages, teaching kids about being safe around tractors, tools, and animals. Just like I found a need to fill in my community, your community needs you. Find out how you can help in your hometown. Get out and live. Volunteer.
Brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
Back, it's 41 past the hour. We are live at the Republican National Convention. It's been quite a morning, man. Quite a morning. Very exciting.
Oh, yeah.
It's not so much about what's going on, because actually people are just starting to get here, but we've had a fun show. That's Mark Riley there.
Good morning.
Everyone's here. Brendan P.W. McDonald, Smarty Pants Larson, Linda's on the board right now. We've got John Nichols talking to us, and surprising me, that Dick Cheney's no genius.
He's
kind
really.
Of a dim bulb when he gets into power and makes a lot of mistakes. You were talking about Ford.
Famously so.
Yeah.
And, you know, after he got done with Ford, you know, ran the guy into the ground, ran the Ford into the ground.
Yeah.
Then he goes, gets into Congress, and he used his reasoned judgment to decide in the 1980s, you know, when they're having all the anti-apartheid concerts,
yes,
that Nelson Mandela really should stay in jail.
Yes.
He voted six times for resolutions in the House against saying it's the feeling of the U.S. government that Mandela ought to be released.
He may still want to
and
put Mandela in jail.
No, actually, you know, he's when interviewed about it, he says, well, I don't mind Mandela that much, but the ANC, they really were a terrorist group.
And he's got
he says that even now.
He's got no real record either in the House, does he? I mean,
well, he does have a record, I'm afraid, his record directly paralleled, and I'm not kidding, Jesse Helms.
Oh, really?
Very far right. Far right on every issue. Newt Gingrich said when they picked Cheney for vice president, wow, they picked somebody more conservative than me.
Wow. So, but, I mean, I was under the impression that he didn't really sort of champion any legislation that made it through.
He did champion one thing.
What?
During the Iran-Contra scandal.
Yes.
He was the point man for the Bush administration to make sure that the Iran-Contra scandal didn't lead to impeachment.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Now, this guy, if you think of something bad in the past, he was there.
Now, what is he going to do? I mean, we've had two nights of moderation. We've had Rudy Giuliani, John McCain, Laura Bush, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
Is the convention now going to veer off to the right? I mean, is this going to be a smooth transition from the moderates to the conservatives? How do they do this?
Now, you know, Cheney will, he always has a public persona, and he's actually pretty good at doing it. He will be Mr. Gravitas. It'll be a serious speech about what dangerous times these are and how incredibly dangerous John Kerry is. Remember, more than anybody else in the administration, Cheney has been the hitman on John Kerry.
Yeah.
Here's a guy who dodged the draft five times and yet says, you know, John Kerry's record makes me uncomfortable with the notion of him governing. He doesn't seem too good on national security.
It's unbelievable what these guys will say. I mean, they had Karl Rove. Now, I'm under the impression right now that, you know, I was going to ask you, how do you think President Bush feels with Cheney running things? Because it's everyone's assumption.
It is true that Cheney does run most.
But on a management level, you're saying, not on a thinking level.
Well, I think Cheney does on a thinking level, too. Remember what this administration has done.
Yes.
They don't think a lot. Paul O'Neill's book, which is a terrific book. You know, O'Neill, the former Treasury Secretary,
yeah, sure.
Said, he kept going around the White House trying to figure out why things didn't work, why nobody discussed issues, why there was really a lack of intellect in the White
uh-huh.
House. And he finally said, I realized the White House runs the way it does because Dick Cheney wants it that way. This is not a White House that's run on ideas. This is a White House that is run on getting reelected, achieving power, holding power.
And secrecy.
Terrible secrecy. Cheney's at the center of it.
Yeah, that must be all his time goes into that. I read John Dean's book, Worse Than Watergate, and
terrific
he said
book.
That the effort that goes into secrecy and that almost all of their in-house policy is about secrecy and the ability to disperse blame.
And remember this, too, when we talk about Cheney in this White House. This is the most oil-obsessed administration in our history.
Yeah.
Who headed the Energy Task Force?
Right.
This is an administration that's obsessed with Iraq. Who was the point man on Iraq? Who, at every turn, was out there, out front, making the case for the war? And who, to this day, refuses to acknowledge that they didn't find any weapons of mass destruction?
You know, you just talked about acquiring power and holding on to power. Doesn't that make him a good politician at a certain level? Isn't politics about grabbing onto and holding on to power as long as you can?
Yes, but democracy is about the citizens figuring out who's trying to grab onto too much power and stopping him from doing it. So that's why we examine Dick Cheney. They're going to put... You know, George Bush can be out front every place because he's a relatively nice guy, wears a big belt buckle.
Mm-hmm.
Cheney is the guy who's really all about getting the power and holding it.
He can't hide the hate in his face.
No, and he's the one we ought to all be looking at. It's not that you don't give Bush a pass, but you pay a lot of attention to Cheney because if you want to see the dark side of power and what it can do, you see it through Dick Cheney.
So between Cheney and Rove, I mean, that's the real axis of evil right there.
Yeah, well, actually, I think for an axis, don't you need three? But
go ahead, throw in a third one.
You know, I always like to bring Ashcroft in because I do believe, I'm not kidding, I do believe that John Ashcroft is a very serious player. He is the better for the far right in this administration.
Why is that?
Well, he really doesn't believe it all.
Right.
Cheney and Rove are cynics.
So, right,
yeah,
right. So they've got Ashcroft and George W. to a certain degree.
And George W. is a player. You know, he's not a complete cipher. I don't think that W. is any dumber than Cheney.
Right.
But I will say W. just is not curious. Because when you're born rich, you don't really, you know, it's easy. Somebody else gets you the coffee.
But
Cheney's the guy who always gets the coffee.
But Rove and Cheney are not believers, you know, fanatical Christians.
No, in fact, you know.
They're willing to use them, though, clearly.
Well, exactly. This administration knows that 4 million evangelical Christians did not vote.
I was going to ask.
All right.
Do you think when this convention's all said and done that they will move those 4 million into the voting booth?
Yeah, their theory is that this convention is for popular consumption. This is being thrown out, you know, to the American people. They're trying to get suburban housewives and, you know, working guys in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Once the convention is done, they'll have a whole strategy run through the churches on the issue of abortion. They don't even care about gay marriage.
Did you see the podium? It's a pulpit. It's literally a pulpit.
Yeah, I like to, but I like where Bush is going to talk in the mosh pit there. You know, and I think if Bush is cool, right? When it's done, everybody dives in the pit. You see the Secret Service at that moment?
Yeah. And then the flames come up and the pit descends into hell. And then all the Antichrist rises back up. Don't you see what's going to happen?
Really?
The rapture is happening here in Madison Square Garden this week.
And really, that's going to confirm most of what you guys have been saying on the show.
Absolutely. Not just me, but it's in Nostradamus. How clear does it have to be, people? Wake up, America.
And you know, when Bush descends into hell, then, of course, Cheney takes over.
Exactly, and the Antichrist begins a 100-year period of darkness.
See, I think we've figured out so many things this morning. I'm feeling a sense of release and peace.
Any bounce coming out of this?
Yeah, there is, unfortunately. The Giuliani speech was visceral. I have to believe that when Giuliani was speaking, about in the middle of his speech, that there had to be some Democratic strategist who kind of said to the room, to, you know, apropos of nothing, you know, who exactly was it that said our convention shouldn't criticize Bush that much? Because this convention is having no problem criticizing Kerry.
Right. John Nichols, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it. The book is Dick, the Man Who is President. When's that coming out?
It's coming out this week, and it should be everywhere.
And it'll be available, I'm sure, on our website, morningsedition.com.
Absolutely.
Always. Have we talked to you before?
I don't think so, but
can
it's always
talk again?
I'm moving into your studio, brother.
All right, great.
Thanks a lot, John Nichols. We'll be right back on Air America Radio.
Want to turn your car into a stealth fighter? Invisible to all types of speed detection equipment, including radar and laser? Well, now you can with Phaser. With a range of up to 3 miles, the Phaser guarantees that you will avoid all types of speed traps. In fact, the manufacturer will even pay your fine if you get a ticket. More than a mere radar detector. The Phaser works by bouncing a mixture of radar signals and invisible infrared pulses to confuse the computer inside the radar or laser gun. The Phaser is the ultimate way to avoid costly speeding tickets. In fact, it is been made illegal in some states, so call now for details. Remember, the Phaser is guaranteed or your speeding ticket is paid. So if you never want to worry about hearing this again, go stealth and get the Phaser today.
To order risk-free, call now 866-794-6495. That's 866-794-6495. Call 866-794-6495.
Not available in California, Minnesota, Nebraska, Virginia, Oklahoma, or Washington, D.C. Certain restrictions apply to guarantee. Call for details.
We're here live in Egypt where Bam Margera of Jackass fame is attempting to be the first man to skate down the Great Pyramid.
Hey!
And he's off. He's looking pretty good. No, no, no. Wait, wait. He's a little unsteady. It looks like he's taking a bit of a tumble now. Oh, God, I'm hurt!
Bam Margera now has his own exclusive radio show on Sirius. Enjoy Tony Hawk, Kelly Slater, and Kerry Walsh, the top extreme sports stars. All exclusive show only on Sirius. Action 28.
Coming this fall.
Look at my knee.
Conservation International applies innovations in science, economics, policy, and community participation to protect the Earth's richest natural regions. Their objective is to conserve plant and animal diversity in major tropical wilderness areas and key marine ecosystems. With headquarters in Washington, D.C., CI works in more than 30 countries on 4 continents. For more information about CI's programs, please visit www.conservation.org.
Wash off the blackboard. Put away the books. Take down the posters.
Put away the gym balls.
Empty out our desks.
Scrape our names off the lockers.
Pull our drawings off the walls.
Put it all in the garbage.
Throw it away.
Throw it all away.
AIDS has killed more children worldwide than there are in all the grade schools in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
Fighting for our lives here.
Yeah, well, you know what? We have been talking about this. I'm responding to myself. Isn't that, well, yeah, now that it's a button, I can respond to myself. Dude, I, you know, what a great day it's been. You know,
it's been a lot of fun.
You know, we really took it. We took it on. We took it down. We deconstructed. I do want to reach out again. Look, I've got these four feral cats that are driving me nuts. My charitable nature is about to falter. I'm going to release them back into the wild for a few reasons. One, I couldn't get any of the people that so-called cat people or cat services to take them. No one will fix them. No one wants anything to do with these wild animals that I've taken into my house, which, you know, turns out I really did just to see if I can make some new friends. Now, I'm reaching out to people in New York. Anybody up for a challenge and wants a feral kitten and will write sedition at airamericaradio.com. If you have any ideas of what I can do with these things before I just add to the problem again because of my inability to tolerate poo on my couch, you know, that, you know, and they're all very cute. They're just a little crazy. And if you have experience with feral cats, I have instructions on how to deal with them. But I don't know what to do with them. I can't do four. I can take one. So that means I got three crazy ones. Two of them should be as a team.
They came with instructions?
Yeah, no, I got how to use them. But I called the SPCA, and they, you know, I, in order to get a trap, to trap the mother and get her fixed, I've got to take a class. In order to, you know,
you have to get a certificate or something. It's like a degree in cat.
Well, I think they're trying to inspire people with the heart to do so, to do this type of work, you know, on a broader level to help this problem, because it is a problem. It is apparently kitten season. I'll make a couple more phone calls today, but if you know anybody that works with feral kittens and wants to deal with this, I'll hold off, because I really don't want to let them back out without them being fixed or without at least trying to get them a home. And I'm sorry I'm using this platform to do this, but I'm also going to get on stage at the convention in between Dick and Lynn Cheney to see if anybody will take my cats.
Oh, I thought it would be like between, what is that, Third Day?
Third Day.
And Brooks and Dunn.
Brooks and Dunn and some Jewish guy with a cat problem.
Yeah, right.
Gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Maron.
Oh, yeah, I'm doing Tough Crowd tonight, too.
Yeah.
If you're interested in that, I will be doing that. I got to go.
And I'm doing CNN tomorrow.
Whoa, Riley's on CNN.
Start a little
big
trouble.
Shot. Are you going to be there with Rove?
I don't know who.
Man, they let Rove talk way too long. That guy, John King, is that guy's name?
Yeah.
Man, let him talk too long.
It's going to be tomorrow at 1:30. I think it's a show called Live From or something. Something like that. But, I'm going to be debating somebody. I don't know who it is.
What if it's Tucker Carlson, man? Take him down.
I'm not wearing no bow tie. All right? That's out. So
yeah.
I doubt it's going to be him. It's probably going to be somebody from Talk Radio Row over here. Pick one. You know, they had Neil Bortz on yesterday debating a cartoonist, but not Ted Rall. There's another guy, another anarchist cartoonist. 1,000 people they busted on the streets yesterday, Mary.
That's a lot, man.
That's a lot of people. But you know what?
Not
all at once. At least it wasn't all that ultra-violent. By the way, you know, they busted some of them over at Herald Square. They busted some down at Ground Zero. They busted some, I think, in Herald Square they were trying to block a bus.
There were some pretty exciting kind of creative protests here and there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, the people that were into the civil disobedience, folks that do that know what the consequences are, I hope.
Some people made their arrest bones this week.
Yeah.
You know, the people that had never.
Man, I remember back in 04 when I got busted in front of that bus.
I sometimes you get the feeling that some of these people that do this are just sort of like, I just got to get arrested this week. I have to.
Because they are.
I want to put it on my resume, man. I'm not worth my salt as an anarchist if I don't get one bust under my belt.
Well, their parents have been talking about 68 since they were little kids. So now they got to go come back and create their own little bit of history for them to talk about to their kids and their grandkids.
I was out on the street doing a pretty creative protest. It was Mark Maron against the Bush administration. It was just me.
Who won?
Yeah. the jury's still out, but I wasn't arrested.
Oh, well, that's all to the good.
We could still get arrested.
Because you were here. You were at the office early this morning.
Everything smells like cat poop to me now. You don't realize what I'm going through.
Well, you know, there is a rather large dumpster over there.
Everywhere I go, I'm like, is Bill Bennett there? No. I just can't...
That, that's an unkind cut to my main man, all right?
I'm sorry. You're right. You can't make fun of a guy when he's down. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you should make fun of him when he's here. Actually, we did that yesterday. Sorry.
Yeah, no, he was so nice to you, you know, but doesn't, yeah. You know, just get, that's, you know, that's a weird thing.
And like, that is a weird thing when somebody says, hey, Mark, I really liked you on C-SPAN. I said, look, you're betting.
Yeah, you're the enemy. But, you know,
yeah, right?
But, you know, when the camera shut off, a lot of these guys are just sort of
just
like,
sort
hey,
of like normal.
Better luck tomorrow.
Yeah.
For me, it's like life or death, literally. I mean, I used to, you know, the more I know about everything that goes on in politics, the less I am.
Nothing is as
it's
it seems.
It's a game, man.
Yeah, it's a
except
game.
It's not. We've got to win this one somehow. And
it's
I think
a game with really, really high stakes.
There's a guy with a Nehru jacket on.
Yeah. And some McD's in his hands.
Can that be
reaching out to shake
somebody's
hand?
Could there be a Republican that wears a Nehru jacket? Or let alone anybody wearing a Nehru jacket?
Well, then he's retro. You know, it's like the old, whatchamacallit, jerseys there. That's all that is.
Hey, here's a liberal agenda. We just got it from the Streisand compound. There's the fax machine. Apparently, I got it before it even came out. Thank you, Smarty Pants Larson, freaking out over there. Here we go. One, use soft money to buy up RNC's supply of balloons and replace them with organic hemp inflatables in the shapes of endangered species. Two, produce a tack ad from Austrian immigrant bodybuilders against Arnold. Three, during Bush's acceptance speech, bribe Madison Square Garden announcer to get on the PA and read off the starting lineup for the Knicks. Four, during roll call of states, grab the microphone and claim to be delegate from the great state of oppression, man, when he's had to done that last night. Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation, quote, McCain is a douchebag, but Cheney is an even bigger douchebag, end quote. Sorry, Larson, you know I'm just kidding, right?
No, he's not.
Oh, look at that look of hate.
Coming up on tomorrow's morning's edition, we continue our series of talks with Republicans who are voting for John Kerry. That's tomorrow's morning's edition here on Air America Radio. See ya!
Bye, Riley!